Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Begin to say, lifting your voice and declaring this new day, for I'll into a new way. You'll leave this place in a new way, a new strength and a new direction. For I'll restore years, and I'll restore health, and I'll restore joy. For this is a day of great restoration, and I'll restore the gifts of the Spirit, and they shall increase, and they shall multiply. For times of refreshing shall come from my presence, saith the Lord, and it shall fall like rain. So now I hear the sound of an abundance of rain, that it shall rain, it shall rain, and I will pour out my Spirit, saith the Lord. So receive it and declare it and say it's not so far away, but it's here right now, today. Ha, ha, ha. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. Praise you, Jehoshua. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. What an awesome, awesome God we serve. Amen. Shalom. Shalom, my brother and my sister. Welcome to the Lord's Hour. This is your host, back home with the family, Brother Elvis Zapata. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for those that have been praying for the family. Amen. I appreciate it. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We are excited to being back to sharing the word, the revelation of Jesus. Amen. Doing the will of God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. So shalom to each and one of you. I believe we are going to have a great program tonight, my brother and my sister. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord did give me a revelation to share for tonight, and I'm going to share it in obedience. But the confirmation has been awesome on the internet. My brother and sister, God is speaking to his people so clear. Hallelujah. He is, hallelujah, about to come for his bride, and that the exciting news, my brother and my sister. Thank you, Lord. So it is for us to continue to repent, continue to seek the Lord, because Jesus is about to come. Praise you, Lord. I asked the Lord before we went and visited, hallelujah, another state, which I'm going to keep that private for reason being. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Amen. Thank you, sister. Amen. Praise you, God. But I asked the Lord before we went, and the Lord did confirm to me before I left to this other state. I asked the Lord to give me a word, and he did give me a word. Amen. He did show me something very special in regard to the wedding celebration. My brother, my sister, he is so good. He is so awesome. He is so great. We serve such a wonderful God. Thank you, Jesus. He showed me something very special that I'm going to share tonight in regard to the wedding celebration that is about to happen. Okay? It is about to happen. The wedding celebration of the bride of Christ, my brother, my sister, is about to happen. Okay, thank you, Jesus. In regard to the wedding, my brother and my sister, I tell you because he showed it to me again, hallelujah. And I tell you, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. I will share tonight what he showed me and what Jesus standing in front of me said to me, my brother and my sister, we are not worthy but for what he did on the cross, hallelujah. By his greater mercy, hallelujah, he does these things. My brother and sister, hallelujah, is what for what Jesus did on the cross. And remember, he is always right. And he sat at the right hand of Father. And that makes him always right. Because he's sitting at the right hand of Almighty God. And thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He never has been wrong. Hallelujah. He says to the one on the left, I was sharing this with someone, to throw him into the fire, but to the one on the right, he called him to enter into his rest. My brother and sister, he's always right. That's why he's always at the right hand of the Father. He's always been there in that place. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. All right, let's go into the Word of God, and then I will go on and share the revelation. It is exciting, and I hope the Word tonight will encourage you to know and understand that there is practically nothing left in regard to time, and that the days that are going by are days of mercy and grace for the lost, for the soul that are coming in, and for those that are coming in the revival that is also about to happen. My brother and my sister, we are so close. People cannot imagine how close we are to the departure of the bride of Christ. But I'm going to share this dream with you. 2 weeks ago, this was not my dream. There was another sister on YouTube. She had a dream about the great tribulation, the rapture and the great tribulation. In her dream, when the Lord showed her the great tribulation, the rapture already happened. She knew. She saw a bunch of people selected, elected, being changed and being taken away up. And then she saw, and this is after the great movement of God, to the 3 days of darkness, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. She was told, I believe it was that she was not ready for the rapture, but only for the great tribulation. And because she was a month of mess that she was around in the great tribulation, she thought she was there literally, that it was happening now. And it was too late for her. And that millisecond, whatever time it is, the Lord brought her back, thanking God because the great tribulation has not started. Because when she was there, she believed it had already started. That's how close it is. My brother and my sister. My brother and sister, it's like in the spirit, there's like millisecond before the great tribulation began. In the spirit, it was she felt. My brother and sister. She says, there's no time. Imagine how quick a millisecond is. There's no time for anything else but to repent. She knew this 100%. And she came back crying back to the Lord, crying like a baby, that she wants to make the rapture because she saw how miserable and how difficult the great tribulation was. She experienced it. And she said, my God, I'm not going to make it through this great tribulation. She said, I'm not going to make it. That's all she kept thinking. It was impossible to make it, how difficult it was for people to be in the great tribulation. So when the Lord gave her this opportunity to bring her back here a few seconds before, she was on her knees crying out to God for mercy to please help her go home in the rapture, departure, because she understood the great tribulation is too hard for anyone. Anyone who thinks that they're ready for the great tribulation, they are wrong. And she thought about these people that talks about preparing for the great tribulation, the worst. She says they're wasting their time for nonsense and foolishness. People should not even be thinking this way. They should be repenting, getting ready to be going home in the rapture. Because she said, my brother and sister, the great tribulation is so hard for anyone to make it through. My brother and sister, it's too hard. It's too difficult. It's too evil. What will be unleashed on this earth? My brother and sister, very soon. Very, very soon. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Matthew 24, 30 to 51 is what I'm going to go in. Hallelujah. And I know there will be things I'm going to share you probably never heard before. The Lord is so awesome. He's so good. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. He always prepare us for more. Prepare us a life for more. He has so much. It is endless to learn in God. My brother and sister, there are beings that's been billions of years learning, and that's just beginning. The knowledge in God is endless. No one can say, I have learned all. No one can say that. That's impossible. It's endless, my brother and sister. He makes everything new. and making everything new. God can make everything new forever. Forever and ever and ever. He can make everything new. My brother and sister. So learning in God is endless. Praise the Lord. Matthew 24, verse 30 says, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This very verse here is the second coming of Jesus. This is the second coming of Jesus. I want you to notice something. Why do Jesus begin teaching on the second coming, and then he goes through the rapture departure, and then he goes through the tribulation message? It's to us, it's opposite to how things are learned in school. Because it's like we first say, no, we've got to take this step by step. We start in the first step, according to us human. And this is why the knowledge of God to those that are lost is foolishness, the Bible says. But God puts everything in the right place, my brother and sister. Like Sister Shirley says, it's not that everything is falling away. No, it's that they're falling into place. Shalom, Sister Luna. Because God is in control. And nothing can happen without his saying. And he says so before they happen. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, second coming. And then all the tribe of the earth will mourn, crying. Hallelujah. They're mourning, they're crying because it's too much to bear. And him coming back, they knew immediately he's stopping all evil. Because the evil happening on the earth during the Great Tribulation is so wicked, it is unimaginable. That's why Jesus said, like it never been before, like it'll never be again. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. All the tribe of the earth will mourn. And they should see the Son of Man in the cloud of heaven with power and great glory. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Because he's coming back with power and great glory. And every eye will see him. Every eye. Even then they trespass him, kill him on the cross. The Romans, the Jewish, everyone will see them. Praise the Lord. That's the second coming, verse 31. And he shall send his angel with a great sound of trumpet, and they shall gather his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Thank you, Jesus. That's a collection, which also points to the rapture, departure. But this is God sending the angel when Jesus comes and gather the elect. But the elect alive by the time Jesus comes and his second coming are not much, by very little, my brother and sister. But God knows how to preserve his loved one, the Bible says. Shalom, Sister Rivero. God knows how to preserve his people, especially for his second coming. Thank you, Lord. He knows how. Hallelujah. As I'm reading this part of Matthew, what came to mind is God's word is the tree of life. Whosoever eat of it shall live forever. And you're going to notice this as I continue, hallelujah, sharing this word tonight. God's word is the tree of life. And whosoever eat of it shall live. If Adam and Eve would have ate out of the tree of life, they would have lived forever. And Jesus Christ is a tree of life. Jesus is the fruit, and he is the word, my brother and my sister, the living word. Thank you, Lord. Verse 32, now, Jesus continued here. Now, every time he says now, every time he says here, okay, it's indicating something special, something unique, something that you and I must pay attention to in the word, my brother and sister. Especially like the Lord watch or hear what the Spirit has to say. That's when you put a stop to it, because now God is getting our attention on what he's about to say. And what he is about to say will directly affect our life to the highest, my brother and sister. So what he has to say now, we need to pay attention to it. Because it's Shalom, Brother Miguel. It's very, very important. Very, very important. What he had to say now. I'm sure a lot of you have read Matthew 24. But this, you probably have disregarded what Jesus is about to say. Because we're going to go into it. And it's going to help you understand, to most of you, something new. Thank you, Lord. Listen to this. Matthew 24:32. Now learn of a parable of the fig tree. Learn of the parable of the fig tree. How many of you have heard the parable of the fig tree? My brother, have understood the parable of the fig tree? My brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. We have heard for years that the fig tree of Israel, and it is in part Israel, but it's much more than that. Because it's indicated in the last day. How does the fig tree apply in the last days? I'm going to show you. How does it apply, my brother, my sister, this fig tree? Thank you, Lord. Judges 9. If you go with me in your Bible to Judges 9, I want to show you how does this apply, this fig tree, hallelujah, to the last days. Thank you, Jesus. Because Jesus, as he's speaking and teaching his disciples, he points them to the fig tree. My brother and sister, in Judges 9, verse 1, I'm going to begin to read this story. Abimelech, the son of Jerubbaal, went to Shechem unto his mother's brethren and commune with him, with all the family of the house of his mother and father, saying, speak, I pray you, on the ear of all the men in Shechem, which is better for you, either that all the sons of Jerubbaal, which are the 70 persons, reign over you. And one of the reign over you, remember also that I am your bone and your flesh, he says. And his mother and brethren spoke of him in the ear, and all the men of Shechem and all these words, and their heart inclined to follow Abimelech. I heard many years ago, over 20 years ago, I would say, that Abimelech represents the flesh. But I want to show you that Abimelech doesn't just represent the flesh. It represents evil on this earth. Evil in the last day. Evil men and evil women in high places. Wicked one, the fallen one, that are in high position in government in many places today. And they represent evil. But this evil that is in these office, these men and women that are in the office are in those office temporarily. God had a plan in his word that he's going to remove them, my brother and sister. He's going to cut them off, my brother and sister, that he will come with his sword and cut them off, that they will not be in the place they're in today for long. They're not. God had a plan to cut them off, my brother and sister, just like Abimelech. So Abimelech, for they said, he is a brother. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver out of the house of Elorik, which Abimelech hired Bane, a light person, and follow him. And he went into the father's house of Oprah, hallelujah, and that sounds like the Oprah today, and soon his brother and the sons of Gerard, being 70 persons upon one stone, notwithstanding that Joashan, the youngest son of Gerard, was left, hallelujah, for he hid himself. And all the men of Shechem gathered together in all the house of Abimelech. And they went and made Abimelech king by the plain of Pelor that was in Shechem. Now they have made Abimelech a king. Notice how he's now placed in the high places, high office, high government. My brother and sister, evil, temporarily, God have allowed it in the high office today, as it was in this time. Verse 7. And when they had told Jonathan, he went and stood on the top of the mountain in Gerizim and lifted up his voice and cried. This is the beginning of repenting and the beginning of seeking the will of God. You want to know what's going on? You're going to have to humble yourself, cry out to God for mercy and leading and guidance and wisdom. It's the only way. My brother and sister, look what Jonah, Jotam did. He cried out
and said unto them, hearken, men, ye of Shenzhen, that God may hearken unto you. You need to hearken unto the Lord. You need to humble yourself. You need to seek him with all your heart, all your life, everything you have in you. And God then will hearken unto you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Verse 8. Hallelujah. The tree, listen to this parable, because the fig tree is included here. The tree went forward once to anoint a king over them. And they said unto the olive tree, reign over us. But the olive tree said unto them, should I leave my fatness, by which by me they honor God and men, and go to promote over the trees? Hallelujah. And then the tree said to the fig tree, here it is. Remember Jesus said in Matthew 24, the parable of the fig tree? Listen. And the tree said unto the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. But the fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to promote over the trees? Should I do this thing? Should I do this thing? Hallelujah. The fig tree said unto them, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to promote over the tree? The fig tree to the Israelite since the beginning, when it was full of fruit, it promoted also, it was my brother and sister, a foundations of being fruitful and multiplying one. One that it provided food, shelter, it shadowed them, protected them from the sun. So when the fig tree was beautiful and the fruit were delicious and sweet, that means prosperity over the children of Israel, over the nation of Israel. So when the fig tree was completely full of fruit, my brother insisted, hallelujah, and the whole land was full of fig tree, full of fruit and beautiful and green, that means that the nation was blessed by God. But when the nation of Israel came down, you know what's the first thing they cut down? The fig tree. You know that before 1948, there was no fig tree in Israel, my brother and sister, for over 40 years before that. They had cut off the fig tree before Israel was born as a nation. Before 1948, there was no fig tree in Israel, my brother and sister. When there will be fig tree in Israel, it only will be when the nation of Israel will return back to the land and be in the land established as a nation, that in Israel, they will replant fig tree again, my brother and sister. And when the fig tree was full of leaf and full of fruit, it meant that the nation now was under God protection, was back with God again, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. The fig tree is so significant. That's why Jesus points the parable of the fig tree to the Jewish people, because they fully understand the meaning of the fig tree standing. You know that when the Jewish people went back to Israel from France and other nations, they carried back with them, so you know how significant it is, fig seed and small fig tree on the animal, on the mule, on the donkey, my brother and sister, on the camel. They carry fig tree with them from France and other nations, from Spain and other nations back to Israel when finally Israel was taken back in 1948, my brother and sister, because there was none, not one standing, not one little one, none. There was no fig tree in Israel before 1948. Because when they were cast out, if we go back to the history, when the Jewish people lost their land, when the enemy came into the land, they cut down all the fig tree and none grew back until they came back in 1948. This is so significant. This is, my brother and sister, this prophecy of the fig tree is so significant because it talks about a nation of Israel being established back into the land, coming under God's blessing and God's protection, and becoming a nation again, my brother and sister. And this nation, this generation that will see the fig tree back in the land, established as a nation, will be the last generation that will see the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ. My brother, my sister, this is so prophetic. And this is so exciting for the Jewish people to know. And this is so exciting for us to study it in our own Bible and to learn this and to know this, to understand the significance, because this along of the fig tree help us understand how close Jesus is to return, how close the departure of the bride of Christ is, my brother, my sister, because it will be the last generation that will see the fig tree come back to the land of Israel, as Israel is established back as a nation. In 1948 is when this happened. Hallelujah. But Jesus has given us, I know in the Psalm says that men will live up to 70 years, but I'm going to say this to you and to anyone listening. This doesn't apply to the generation that will see the fig tree back in the land. You know why? Because Jesus said in Luke 17 and in Matthew 24 that it will be like in the days of Noah. And in order for us to understand how long it will be or what will be the time I'm running about, we got to go back to Genesis 6, my brother and sister, because there God said how long man will live, that his spirit, the Lord says in 6:3, that the Lord says, my spirit shall not always strive with men, for he is also flesh. Yet his day shall be 120 years. 120 years. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, it is the time given for Messiah to return and his second coming after 1948. My brother and sister, the fig tree was brought back in 1948. Okay? Jesus said it will be like in the generations of Noah, 120 years. You got it from 1948, you got to go up 120 years until the second coming of Jesus. Because this is why when I began to read to you Matthew 24, what did I begin to read to you? The second coming. Matthew 24, verse 30, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall the tribe of the earth will mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the cloud, and the heaven with power and great glory. This is not put in there by coincidence. This is put in there by the plan and wisdom of God Almighty, my brother and sister, who is preparing a wedding for his son. He is the one preparing a wedding, Matthew 22, for his son Jesus. This is not put there by coincidence. This is all by the plan of God, my brother and sister, for us to help us understand. So let me continue with the parable of the fig tree. But the fig tree said unto them, forsake my sweetness and my good fruit, and go to be promoted over the trees. Hallelujah. There's so much information given there. So much information given there. Hallelujah. Because this is when the fig tree is established. It is and it's fruitful. As the Lord says to Adam and Eve, be fruitful and multiply. This is what the fig tree is. This is where Israel is, being fruitful and multiply. My brother and sister. Hallelujah. Should I forsake my sweetness? It's sweet. Hallelujah. In my good fruit, the fruit is good, fully developed. My brother and sister, to go to promote over the trees. Hallelujah. The tree now be in the world, everyone else. Hallelujah. It is be promoted every single life. But notice that not every single life, my brother and sister, is fruitful and multiply. But it should be. When the word of God comes into their life and they receive it well and they repent and turn their life back to God, God will make them sweet and good. I thank you, Jesus, like the sweet, like the fig tree. Praise you, Lord. Verse 12. Then said the tree unto the vine, come thou and reign over us. And the vine said unto them, should I leave my wine, which sheareth God, in men and go to promote over the trees. This is the gospel being preached unto all the nation. Because it begins first, my brother insisted, with the oil, which is the olive tree, which is, it comes the oil, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. Then the word being preached and the word being promoted. So prophetic. This is so prophetic, what I'm reading to you. Praise your Lord. Should I do this? Says the vine. Hallelujah. A type of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Verse 13. Then say, all the tree unto the branch brambles, come down and reign over us. But the brambles said unto them, if in true you anoint the king over you, and come put your trust in my shadow, if not, let fire come out of the bramble and devour the cedar of Lebanon. Because if not Messiah reigning, if any king is anointed in his place, this brings the wrath of God. When the Antichrist, the wicked one, is in the place where Messiah only should be, this brings the wrath of God. He gets on his white horse and comes down to reign, my brother and sister. He's not going to stand for it. Not going to stand because that's his place. No one should take his place. Very clear. Verse 16. Now, therefore, if ye have done truly and sincerely, that ye may have made Amivalek king, and ye have dwelt with Jeroboam his house, and has done unto him according to the deserving of his hand. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, and to make this story here long, because I want to move on with the other verses, I'll take you down what happened to Amivalek, my brother and sister, because God said this would happen to him. How God said, Amivalek, hallelujah, will die, my brother and sister, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Yeshua. It's down. Hallelujah. Here, verse, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When Amivalek and Tevez, a camp against us, verse 50, Tevez took it, but it was a strong tower within the city. And the tiller fled all the men and women and all the house of the city and showed it to them, shouted to them, and went out to the top of the tower. And Amivalek came to the tower and fought against and then went hard unto the door and toward the burning of the fire. And a certain woman cast a piece of millstone upon Amivalek's head and broke his skull. Twice that God done this in the Old Testament. Use a woman to kill the most powerful man that all the army of Israel fear. My brother and sister, God using the meek and what man calls the weak to overcome when he wants to. And in the last day, God is raising woman, powerful in him, anointed in him to overcome so much, my brother and sister. There is a pouring of the Holy Spirit coming. Hallelujah. In the last days. And you already see more women anointing and waiting for it, ready for God to be used by God in the last days of this revival, mightily and powerful. And even when the Bible talks about the millennium, a woman will surpass man, the Bible says. Women in the hand of God are powerful tools. When man says no to God, women says yes, and God will use a woman to surpass the man. Here is all these men fighting Amivalek, and they cannot overcome his army. And God uses a woman, which he said he would, and break the skull of Amivalek, stop this evil and wicked man in the last days. My brother insisted, this certainly will continue to happen. God is about to do so much more in the last days. So much more, my brother insisted, than what people think. When the Lord took me, hallelujah, to the chamber this time in heaven, yesterday morning, after the midnight hour in prayer with the Lord, my brother, my sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I remember beginning praying like around 12 noon. I don't believe it even was 12 noon. Hallelujah. And praise the Lord. When I looked, I finished my prayer. It was over 2 in the morning. Okay. Praise the Lord. I just kept praying and praying. as I felt led by the Lord, praying for whoever the Lord had me pray. This prayer is so much needed. We can never pray enough. Some people believe that praying 2, 3 hours, 5 hours is enough. No, they're wrong. The Bible says 24 hours. It's what God says that we should be praying. Because when he said pray without ceasing, it's praying nonstop. That's 24 hours. 7 days a week, 365 days a year. No one can say they pray too much. Jesus will pray all night long. And even when people find him sleeping on the boat, they don't understand. Brother Hector Cruz, who's in heaven, shared that when he finished preaching for several hours, 7 and 8 hours, when he went back to his hotel, being in a different country, being in the U.S., he went to his hotel to pray and rebuke demon and principality that will come to attack him. My brother insisted. And the Lord would have him praying all day long. My brother insisted. The only thing he needed to make sure was that at 12 o'clock in the morning, he needed to get up from praying, take a shower, get dressed again, to take a car to go to another place to preach another city. My brother insisted. But the Lord had him pray all night long. A lot of people don't understand this. A lot of people think we're exaggerating about this. And some of us wish we can pray all day long. It is difficult. It's hard for our body to pray so many hours, my brother insisted. When I pray 3 hours, my body hurts a lot, my bones. My brother insisted, it's hard for the body. God help us. But we should be praying 24 hours. It's what the Bible said, without ceasing. That's exactly what it is, 24 hours. God help us. We're not praying those hours. None of us are. I'm not going to come here and lie to you and tell you I pray 24 hours, because that will be a lie. No. My brother insisted, it's difficult. It's painful. But God help us, my brother and sister. And repenting, seeking the Lord. The Lord had told me days before he will be going to take me to heaven again. I said, Lord, show me something special that I can share with my brothers and sisters. He said, yes, in prayer. I remember a few nights before. And then, praise the Lord. As I go to sleep after 2 o'clock in the morning, boom. It was in the blink of an eye. I was in the chamber in heaven. I immediately recognized the Lord was standing there. Now, I'm going to tell you this. He didn't receive me with a nice smile like I've seen him many times before, like I love to see in Jesus, with a smile on his face waiting for me. Not this time. Not this time. He didn't look happy. In the regard I'm saying, he brought me home to discipline me, to rebuke me. My brother and sister, not going to share the rebuke. Any rebuke from him is well received. Because he is our master, our Lord, and our rabbi, and our God. And when he needs to discipline us, we need to receive it. The Apostle Paul warned the brothers and sisters not to get tired of the discipline of the Lord. As a father who loves his son, he disciplines us. Thank you, sister. It's important that we are disciplined by God. A lot of people, when the moment I mention discipline, they get disconnected. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of being disciplined. Don't get tired of being disciplined by God. That God disciplined us to save us, to deliver us from all kinds of wickedness. Because there's all kinds of wickedness happening on this earth, my brother and my sister. So very important. We understand. We don't get tired of his discipline. We ask him to have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on me, is what we need to say. Not getting tired of his discipline. Because there's so much we don't even know and understand, my brother and my sister. As I'm in there, Jesus says to me, you, and when he say you, he generalized it, are not believing, are doubting, and not believing that my rapture, departure, my wedding is about to begin. That you're about to enter, you're about to come in. He says, you are doubting. You are doubting. Hallelujah. And he says, but my word is true. He says, talking about the last generation. That's what he was referring to. My word is truth, he says to me. Hallelujah. I've spoken it in my words, he says. In other words, he says to me that we are supposed to see in his word clearly. in Matthew 24, Luke 17, that the rapture, departure of the bride of Christ is about to happen, according to Jesus, who's right, who's sitting at the right in the hand of the Father, my brother and sister. We are supposed to see it in his word. But he says, you are doubting. He says, and I'm believing. Hallelujah. My word. And, oh, Lord, mercy. Lord, I didn't want to add or take away. Please forgive me, Lord. If I add anything, if I take away anything from what you said to me, praise your Lord. And I'm looking. I was in the place, before I continue telling you what Jesus was saying, I was in the place that I seen before, 100 feet away or more, the castle, the place of the wedding chamber, where the bride is about to arrive, and change for the wedding, my brother and my sister. And Jesus went, at the same time, he's dressed for the wedding. That's what I noticed about him. He had his wedding garments on, because he's waiting for the bride to arrive in the chamber. Because he said to the prophet Isaiah, enter into thy chamber until the indignation passes. Hallelujah. This is what we are. We're supposed to enter that chamber any moment now. Any moment. We're supposed to. I remember saying this on the Lord's Tower. We are about to. Jesus repeated to me yesterday morning in heaven the same word. You are about to enter, he says. And he rebuked my doubt, our doubts, and not unbelief about it. My brother and sister, this is wrong about us. This is very wrong. I'm going to share with you, hallelujah, that Jesus rebuked his disciple because of their unbelief and doubt. And that to him is never acceptable that we, hallelujah, my brother and sister, hallelujah, doubt his word, his promise, hallelujah, and not believe what he has said. Every time he rebuked his disciple, my brother and sister, hallelujah, he rebuked their unbelief and their doubt. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I'm looking for the verses. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, because the Lord is not acceptable that we are doubting that the bride of Christ is about to departure. It's about to enter. My brother and sister, in Matthew 17, verse 15 to 21, the Bible says that a man that had a son, that had a demon-possessed son, came to Jesus and said, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is lunatic and sorely vexed. For often he falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to thy disciple, and they could not cure him. Jesus answered and said, all faithless. Here it is. I want you to notice that the Lord don't take doubt and unbelief, my brothers and sisters, lightly. We do. In the church, the pastor, the minister, among the brothers and sisters, we take this lightly. Not Jesus. He never did. When the disciples have this attitude, when they have this mentality, when they have this speaking and this behaving as a Christian, Jesus did not take this lightly. He rebuked them harshly, my brother and sister. And we need to learn that doubt and unbelief is a serious sickness that needs to be cured. And the only cure for doubt and unbelief is faith, my brother and sister. Because without faith, it is impossible to please him. And anyone, him that approaches God must believe that he is, that he is a rewarder of them that daily seek him. You need to understand that what we take lightly, what we take as a joke sometimes, is not a joke to God. It's not something lightly that we should be playing around. Doubt and unbelief is a serious sickness. It's a serious evil that needs to be avoided, my brother, my sister, my Lord, my God. All faithless and perverse generation. Notice how when people doubt, are full of doubt and unbelief, they ended up being perverse. Perversion is a sign of doubt and unbelief, according to Jesus. according to Jesus, all faileth and perverse generation, how long should I be with you? How long should I be with you? Remember, who is he? Jesus. He is the Word of God. What is the first thing during the great tribulation that they're going to take away? The Word of God. God, my brother and sister, is going to take his word from people in the great tribulation, a form of punishment for not believing the word, for not, my brother and sister, hallelujah, trusting the word as the absolute truth. They're going not to have the Bible in the great tribulation, and their suffering will be much greater because God can come for us through his word. David said, thy word is my comfort. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Thou comfort me, my brother and sister. He used the word to comfort her, to minister, to lead him. Thy word is thy light to my feet, he also said, my brother and sister. His word to David, when he was running from King Saul, hiding in cave, hiding everywhere in dark places, David kept reading the word of God, and the word of God was the light, was the comfort, was the minister. The word of God was with David in every cave and in the dark valley. Thou, I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art with me. God was with David through his word, my brother and my sister. And people are taking the word of God lightly, but God's going to take it away from them in the great tribulation. That's why so many times the Lord took me to the great tribulation, and I seen people that had no Bible having Bible study. No Bible. They were trying to remember by memory the word of God, and they were misquoting the word. They'll say a verse, and the rest they could not remember, my brother and sister, because these are people now backsliding, caught up in sport, caught up in gambling, caught up in stock market, caught up in making a lot of money. And when the great tribulation began and they lose everything because there will be no economy, they're on the floor crying like baby to God. Oh, God, I knew about you. My mom used to take me to church. I remember church service. I remember Sunday service. I remember the pastor quoting the word. And they're trying to remember every word by word. But I was so hard of heart, God, have mercy on me. But the demon doesn't stop persecuting them, tormenting them, punishing them, even killing them, and so much more. It's hell. The good part is that even though the demons are cutting their arms, are cutting their leg, even their neck, they're still alive. That's still the mercy of God. People don't understand. How can God, oh, merciful God, oh, good God, allow demons to be released from the pen, Nephtali, and cut people's hand, cut people's leg, cut people's shoulder, put a sword through the belly? That's the mercy of God, because he's still alive. That is the mercy of Father, who is good. Remember what Jesus said when he was called good? He said, I'm not good, but only one good, my Father who is in heaven. Hallowed be his name. His will be done on earth as it is in heaven. My brother and sister, he is good. You cannot imagine how Father good, how good Father is. Everything that is good and pure, Father is. My brother and sister, he is so good, you cannot imagine how good it is. But no one can come to the Father except through Jesus. Jesus loves so much his Father that in order for you to receive a Father, you must come through Jesus. That's why so many people have so little of him on this earth, full of sin. Because this must be a sincere repenting, a sincere sickness of God with all their heart and all their lives. God doesn't want 10% of you, not even 99% of you, of your heart. God wants 100%, and that's the harder thing. Because you and I can be giving God 99.99% of our heart. And God says, it's not enough, my daughter. That is not enough, my son. I want 100%. But God, how can I give you 100% when you know I love to do this? I love that. I love that other thing. God said, I'm sorry. I must have all your heart, my daughter. I must have all your heart. So, Father, that means I will have to quit this job that it cost me so much in college. Father, look at the PhD I got to get this job. And you telling me that I have to quit this job to truly give you all my heart? Father will say, yes, my daughter, But Father, my daughter, my son, I'm offering you eternal life with me. Non-ending life. What you're getting, even though you got those PhDs, is a temporary life and then punishment in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, my daughter, my son. Now, you tell me what you choose. Father, that makes sense, Father. That makes sense. The way you're saying it now, Father, that truly makes sense. Yes, yes. Hallelujah. That's why you got five foolish virgins and five wise virgins. The foolish did not think that all their life needed to be committed. Oh, you know, that oil is the Holy Spirit. That extra oil is when you spend time with God and he fills you more. And he fills you again because you're spending the time and you feel so full of the oil of the Holy Spirit in your life. That's not extra oil. If it's not there, oh, my Lord, have mercy on us, oh, Lord. Have mercy on us. Jesus, standing in front of me in that big room of the chamber where the bride is going to come in and get dressed in those dressing room, he gave me a vision. Open the door. I saw a sister in Christ come out there dressed with her white dress. When Jesus opened the door, she was dressed completely, ready for the wedding. I just saw them arrive from the earth. This is the revelation of the rapture he's given me. In the throne of God. In the place, not in the throne of God, in the place of the wedding celebration. He's given me a vision of the bride arriving any second in heaven. Any second, not any minute, any second. The bride is about to enter, he says. And he's given me a vision. In this vision, I saw the elect, selected bride of Christ. My brother and sister, I didn't tell you I saw a multitude. Elected, selected men and women that are repenting to God with all their heart, that their heart burn every day to be going home. And I saw them enter and through the chamber. They didn't came into heaven to go hug their family, to look for their friend. No. Time is so nothing, so little, that the bride enter in to change their garment, their clothing, to go into the wedding because there's nothing left. The bride needs to enter into the wedding. Jesus is ready, waiting. This made me think that, like in the wedding, when we got married, usually the boyfriend enter, the man is there first, waiting for the woman to come into the church for the wedding, into the place of the wedding. And this is exactly how he's given it to me. Because he's dressed, he's ready. The guests are ready. It's another thing. I knew that on the other side, with the bride enter to be married with the Lord, all the guests are already there, my brother and sister. The bride is the only one now that needs to enter. And he's giving me a vision of the bride any second from now in the spirit, any second. Enter, went in, got dressed, and the Lord opened the door to see me, to show me her coming out of the chamber to the wedding. I was stunned how quickly he showed me all this. But he rebuked my doubt and unbelief. Ye are doubting. Hallelujah, that the wedding is about to begin, he says. And he says, because it is in his word, I'm reading it to you tonight, that this is the last generation's last. And he says, my word is true, he says to me, my brother and sister. So you want to know if about to happen? Well, I'm reading it to you. Again, let's go back to Matthew 24. My brother and sister. So he rebuked their unbelief in Matthew 12, and hallelujah, here. Not acceptable. I have more verses, but let me go back here to the wedding. To hallelujah, Matthew 24. Now I learned of the fig tree. Hallelujah. So when the fig tree again is full of fruit, they're sweet. It's beautiful. That's when everything is established by God, my brother and sister. Same for the bride applies now in the spirit. The bride is fully to the image of Christ, to the likeness. I just heard a prophecy, which I'm going to play to you, where the bride is for the celebration. The Lord gave it today to Sister Shirley. The bride, everything is ready. And God is about to bring the great movement of the great revival, my brother and sister. As the Lord showed me these things, and I'm meditating on the meaning of what the Lord was showing me in heaven, as I'm driving back to North Carolina, I had to drive close to the shore as I'm coming from this other state, a different timing zone. And the Lord gave me this experience of this great tsunami coming to North Carolina, my brother and sister. It was, to me, as I'm driving, remember, it's giving me a vision with open eyes of this tsunami. He showed me like the tsunami was coming at the same time that I was driving. So it's like for you to step on your gas and lay headed to the mountain because this is coming. Because remember, he showed me tsunami. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, that is coming. There's a tsunami. It's about to hit the east coast of the United States. God, the Lord has told us this. So I'm meditating. My question was, as I was meditating, Lord, but you said that my brother, as I'm driving, sometimes he'll speak to me clearly when I'm driving. I'm listening to worship music. My children, my family, and the minivan sleeping. And I'm driving early in the morning, heading north to make it yesterday. And as they're sleeping, my wife is sleeping on my right hand. My kids are sleeping on the back. And I'm driving, my brother and sister, and I'm listening to the worship music. It was very low. But at the same time, I'm meditating on what Jesus showed me. Of course, I'm paying attention to my driving also. But I'm meditating on what the Lord has said in the meaning. And the Lord spoke to me at the very moment. I was like, oh, Lord, you're talking to me, my brother and sister. And it was very clear, his voice there. Thank you, Lord. So I'm meditating, and the Lord speak to me. He said, yes. He's giving me right there the experience of the tsunami. It was so real. I held to the steering wheel with both of my hands, nervous, because it was like through the part of North Carolina I'm driving through, all that will be wiped out by the tsunami. And he's giving me an experience of the tsunami coming into the land, wiping out. All that coast of North Carolina, building, houses, land, everything wiped out by the tsunami. And I'm holding to the steering wheel because the experience was so real. It was only for a few seconds, but it was so real, my brother and sister. Because I was thinking, I said, Lord, what about, you said that we will see judgment before. And he said, yes, and then giving me the experience. My brother and sister, God is real more than you and I. And anything we, you and I know, he is more real than everything. My brother and sister, and he's in control of everything. Thank you, Lord. So after he's giving me experience, I can feel his presence so strong, so real, that my life will love me, love of the core. So it gives me confidence afterward because he's with me at the same time. But it was like, Lord, then I should not leave my house anymore for anything else. Because if this tsunami is about to happen, leaving from where we are in the mountain, I just heard him say, yes, it's extremely dangerous. And that's what he was saying yes to. It's extremely dangerous now, he let me know. For us, where we are now, to leave. Like the part of Asheville where I are, where I am, he doesn't want me to leave it for now, my brother and sister, because it's extremely dangerous, extremely. He actually given me a vision a few years ago, and please keep us in prayer. This November, my wife is coming from the island. I haven't seen my mom and 2 years, I believe it is, or three. She wants us to come and visit her in New Jersey before she goes back. And I said to my mom, yes. So I've been praying to the Lord that I can go in November. when the children have some days off from school and see her. She'll see the kid, and then we'll come back to North Carolina, my brother and sister. But the Lord given me a vision years ago that I was in New Jersey. The tsunami came in. Listen, so you see there's no coincidence in God. There's no coincidence. He knows the future from the beginning. He talks about it in his word. My brother and sister. My brother and my sister bought a house north part of New Jersey. Years ago, they were living in the southern part. And when the Lord given me the vision, I'm talking to you maybe 8-9 years ago. He showed me that I will be in the northern part of New Jersey, and that house, and the tsunami will come into the land. They just bought this out 2 years ago in that northern part that God showed me 10 years before that they will be when the tsunami would happen. My brother and sister, there's no coincidence in God. There's no coincidence. Everything God knows what's going to happen from here in a million years, in a thousand million years, in a trillion years. He knows exactly what is going to happen. There's no coincidence to him. And he showed me the house that we will be in. The tsunami will come into New Jersey and level New Jersey badly. My brother and sister, it's high up kind of where they're about their house, but even the water will get there. I remember we could not go anywhere. There was water everywhere. All the park closer to the sea of New Jersey was completely destroyed. The tsunami came into New York. My brother and sister, I shared years ago how Pastor John was in Providence, Boston in Providence, and 100-foot wave came into Providence, Boston. And he was standing there. This is for the future God was showing him. And he was rebuking this wave, coming in, destroying buildings and houses and killing everyone on the way. My brother and sister, the only thing I know, that when the tsunami come from Florida, through Florida, I saw like a 1,000-foot wave, my brother and sister, okay? I'm going to share with you, there's no coincidence, no. I had a minister call me an hour ago before this program, 1 hour ago, to tell me that in the island, I believe it's called Mona, close to Puerto Rico, okay, NASA have put in their special vehicles, many of them, preparing this year, 2022, to knock down a meteor that NASA can see that is about to hit the Earth. They're in the island Mona, close to Puerto Rico. I don't know how they call. I just know it's called the island Mona, close to Puerto Rico. NASA has all the, and Prophet Ephraim, he was telling me, brother, you remember 10 years ago when Prophet Ephraim, the Lord gave him the vision of the meteor hitting close to Puerto Rico? Right now, NASA has all these ships in that island pointing to the cloud with missile on them to knock down this meteor that is about to hit the Earth. He went and found the information online. They're tracking this stuff. They're following what NASA's saying. My brother, right now, this is like right now. They have all these special ships there, vehicles, and they're getting ready for this year, 2022, which is going to be over very soon, to knock down this meteor that is about to hit the Earth. And they don't want to tell the people not to bring an alarm, for Biden and all of them knows about this. This is why they're bringing this thing with Trump, the raiding of Trump Mansion in Mar-a-Lago, my brother and sister. They're trying to focus people on something else than what's really happening right now. There is a meteor going around our space about to hit the Earth this year. And NASA knows very well about this. And they're getting ready to knock down this meteor. But here's the problem. They don't know how much of it they can destroy. And the rest will hit the Earth, my brother and sister. The rest of this meteor will hit the Earth. And this brother called me to inform me today, this minister, to tell me about this. And I was telling him, he began to explain to me about the fig tree. And I said, brother, This morning when I got up, I came to my computer. I began to pray in my prayer language. As I'm getting ready, looking up the fig tree and the meaning that Jesus said. And I'm getting ready tonight to bring a Bible study about this. I was telling him, and you call me to talk to me about this. What, this is no, there's no coincidence in God. This is no coincidence in God. It's only plan of God, my brother and my sister. Hallelujah. He says, Brother Elvie, the rapture, the departure is so close to happen to me on the phone. And I say, I know. I didn't even tell him about this experience that Jesus showed me. I didn't even got to tell him because he had me on the phone for about an hour, giving me so much information. My brother and sister, he's been studying in the Word of God and the signs that God is giving him, the confirmation that God is giving him, that he is about to take his people out of this earth. My brother and sister, then he shared with me what NASA is getting ready for, the why the Biden's administration and the government is focusing people on the Mar-a-Lago raiding of Trump's mansion. My brother and sister, because they want to hide what's really happening with this meteor hitting the earth this year. My brother and sister, that is circulating about the earth at a very high speed. And NASA and government and our scientists, he was telling me, are so concerned that they're keeping this information low, very low, my brother and sister, okay, very low. They don't want this information out because it will create a great panic that they don't want. So they're creating a distraction to distract people on something else that they want to make important that it's not. They know it's not. They have shaking hands that this is not important. They know it's not. But they want to distract people. And everyone who's been around the government for many years knows that this is the way the government works. They have to distract people with something else, make something else important, not to get people scared and nervous for what is about to happen. My brother and sister, NASA sees through their telescope this meteor about to hit the earth, and they want to destroy it. But they don't know how successful they can be. They got their machines, the rocket, ready to blow it up in the cloud. My brother and sister. And they want to keep this very quiet, very low, in case it fails. They're very nervous. They got the best scientists and engineers behind this, studying this meteor, seeing what will be the best possible scenario to blow it up right now. And this brother is tracking information online, listening to people. There's always information being leaked around, so people will eventually find out one way or another. My brother insisted, and he knows, and people are nervous. He said, the Lord got to be able to take his people out. But here's the thing. I don't think because of this, God's going to take us out, because of this meteor. Because God said to the prophet Ephraim that a meteor was going to hit close to Puerto Rico. Look what the United States is, and that island close to Puerto Rico, where all these machines and missiles pointing up, ready to blow up this meteor. When God said that there will be a meteor to Prophet Ephraim years ago that will hit close to Puerto Rico, but it will create a mighty tsunami. Notice what the Lord showed me yesterday morning driving this way. He gave me the experience of the tsunami hitting the east coast of the United States. And now this brother called me yesterday to give me the information, which is no coincidence. This is no coincidence because he didn't know what the Lord was talking to me about or what the Lord's been showing me. He didn't know, my brother and sister, because he's not able to listen to the Lord's hour because he works too much. So he's not able to listen to the Lord's hour. He don't know what we've been talking about for all these months and years. He doesn't know what we're talking about here. My brother and sister, it's as I'm getting ready to this, and he shared these things that the Lord's been revealing to him in regard to the fig tree and the things to come. I said, I'm getting ready. I'm studying this. I'm in prayer. I was in prayer doing this Bible study. My brother and sister. Amen. So let me continue here. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Verse 8, the tree went forward once to anoint the king. Okay, this is what I read Let me run to verse 11. Thank you, Lord. Zechariah 3. Hallelujah. Zechariah 3 says, he showed me Yeshua. Listen to this. Listen to this. So you know that God is in control, but the devil is behind every wicked plan, my brother and sister. And there's a plan of the devil behind all this. Yes, God is in control. Zechariah 3:3. He showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing on his right hand to resist him. Resist him. Resist the devil, he will flee from you, the Bible says. And the Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Lord who hath chosen Jerusalem to rebuke thee. It is not this branch plung out of the fire. What do we say the fig tree was? The fig tree of Israel, we said. And since 1948, Israel was established as a nation. The fig tree was brought back to the land of Israel, planted again to produce fruit again, my brother and sister. But it doesn't produce a sweet fullness fruit that it produced unless the people are back under the protection of God and repenting back in the land of Israel. We know that in 1948, that's when they made their cry to God. For a year, for 1947, 46, 45, 44, Israel has been crying, because I'm remembering the history that I heard about, crying to God for mercy that they will be restored back to the island, to the land, I'm sorry, of Israel. And God did so. God fulfilled his promise, as he said through his prophets, my brother and sister. So Jerusalem, he says, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garment, stood before the angel. Notice that, my brother and sister, when we are full of sin, filthy garment is a type of someone being full of sin. My brother and sister, God have mercy on us. The devil goes before God to accuse us when we have sin in our life. This is why repenting daily is what you and I should be doing. If we make an excuse not to be in daily repenting, and we have sin in our lives, the devil will accuse us, and he will attack us also. People know because they've been attacked severely by the devil because of sin. My brother and sister, this is a fact. This is not a game. This really happens. Hallelujah. And he answered and spoke unto those who stood before him, saying, take away, hallelujah, praise the Lord, take away the filthy garment from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will close thee with, hallelujah, chain raiment. Who can do this but only Messiah? This is why the Jewish people keep saying, Messiah, 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 and the teaching. Who can forgive sin but only God? But only who can wipe our sin? Only but the blood of Jesus, the blood of Messiah. The blood of Yeshua is the only blood that can cleanse us, because God said to the people that the blood of animal were not able to cleanse them, because God was pointing to the blood of Jesus. It's only the blood of Jesus that can cleanse us, can wipe away our sin. My brother and sister, there was an old hymn that said, what can wipe away my sin but only but the blood of Jesus? Only the blood of Jesus can cleanse us from our sin when we repent. My brother and sister. So here is Joshua, mighty man of God after Moses, brought in the same height of Moses in God, same anointing, same presence of God, having filthy clothing, still having sin in his life, my brother and sister. To a lot of people, Joshua should be in heaven already. My brother and sister. Joshua was buried back into his parents, hallelujah, parents back where they were supposed to be buried, people in the past. But that doesn't mean that his soul was okay. And God present Joshua not being okay with filthy garments, sin. But God showed that through Messiah, he is forgiven and he is cleansed. And Messiah said, he answers to before him saying, take away the filthy garment from him. Unto him he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass from thee, and I will close thee with a changed raiment. He changes our clothing. This is why when you repent, you say, Lord, please, Lord, forgive my sin and my trespass, and cleanse my garment, all my bookkeeping record, Lord. in my garment, cleanse with your blood in your holy fire. Every day you got to be doing this. Because you notice, he has forgiven Joshua. But now his clothes and raiment needs to be changed. To God, it's important that our clothes and raiment are cleansed as we come before him. My friends, don't forget this in prayer. Don't forget it. Please don't forget it. It's important to God. It must be important to us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Yeshua. Verse 5. And then I said, let them, hallelujah, set a clean mirror upon his head. So yeah, set a clean mirror upon his head, mirror, and clothe him with garment, and the angel of the Lord stood by. Remember who's the angel of the Lord? Jesus Christ. Every time you read in the Old Testament, an appearance of the angel of the Lord, and a specific angel, which is Messiah, Lord Jesus Christ, he revealed himself as the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament. In this case, see how the angel of the Lord is cleansing Joshua the high priest, cleansed sin, and so my brother and sister. And the angel of the Lord protested unto Joshua, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, if thou wilt walk in my ways, if thou wilt keep my ordinance, then thou shalt also judge my house, and shall also keep my court. And I will give thee a place to walk among those who stand by. This is the blessing when you are in repenting. God brings you, the Lord brings you in position to receive position, title, authority, and power. That's what he says in Revelation, that those that overcome will reign with him for 1,000 years. He puts you in position after you in daily repenting and cleanses you, and then puts you in position of authority and power and reign with him, that we should reign with Christ 1,000 years. The word of God says it's the only way, my brother and sister, this happens. Messiah can do this. God can do this in our life. If you say, well, I don't need to repent so much, then you can miss the departure, and you can miss be put in position to receive the blessing of the Lord. Hallelujah. It's a dangerous thing. Verse 8. Hear now, O Joshua, high priest, thou and thy fellow who sit before thee, for there are men wonder at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant the branch. Hallelujah. In other words, see how I have mercy on you, Joshua. See what I've done with you. I'm also bringing others in the same form. Again, hear you, Joshua, high priest, thou and thy fellow who sit before thee, for they are the men that wandered out, for I, behold, I will bring forth my servant and branch. Okay? Anyone who humbled himself to him, become his servant, he made them the servant, and they also receive the same blessing. My brother and sister. Verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua, upon one stone shall 7 eyes. Behold, I will engraving thereof, says the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. My brother and sister, when the Savior comes to Israel, hallelujah, Romans 11, hallelujah, Israel, all Israel shall be saved, the Bible says. Only Messiah can do that. You can study it back and forth, and you can see that only Messiah can bring total restoration, he says, in one day. One day. He can save a nation in a single day if the nation repents. Hallelujah. A lot of people say, well, that's going to take years. You know, God needs to work on them and cleanse them. No, because you forget something. A nation like the United States, who have heard God's word for so many years, teachers, prophets, pastors, and leaders already in God's kingdom. But they're now because they're in sin. They're not repenting daily, my brother and sister. But if they repent in one day, God can restore the entire nation, my brother and sister. The entire nation, any nation, God can do it in a single day. Okay? Therefore, the Lord of hosts, I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. My brother and sister. That's why repenting and calling up to God is what we need to be doing every day. Because you don't know, you and I don't know the day when the Lord can take a nation and change it completely in one single day. And from there on forward, that nation is completely changed. How did that happen? You don't know the power of God. You don't know what God is able to. God say what he means. God speak what he does and what God speaks, he brings it to pass in that single day. An entire land. An iniquity of the land in one day. But God, this 320 plus million in America, you can do it in one day. And God looks at you, yes, in one day. There's nothing impossible to the Lord. My brother and sister, any land, any country can repent and God can forgive and restore in one day. Verse 10. And in that day, say the Lord of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under his vine and under the fig tree. Here it is. Here it is. Notice that. Total restoration. When the people comes under God's government, where do they come under? I'm going to read it again, verse 10. And please pay close attention to this. This is important. Because if you can understand this, then you understand that the wedding celebration is about to happen. 100%. You have no doubt and no unbelief in you. Because it's in the word of God. Again, verse 10. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, who's speaking God, you should call every man his neighbor under. Notice how it is. Oh, under. Under the vine and under the fig tree. Total restoration. Total establishment. Like Israel established as a nation in 1948. They come under the fig tree. The fig tree is a sign to the Jewish people and to the world. My brother and sister. And the Lord said that it will be like in the days of Noah. 120 years. This is why people are wondering where we are, Brother Elvie. Well, you're going to have to study the fig tree. You're going to have to study Israel being put back as a nation. And Jesus said we'll be like in the days of Noah, 120 years. Are we close to the 120 years since 1948? Look it up. Look it up. This brother did a calculation. My brother said, I said, you know, brother, I'm not going to talk about time in the Lord Tower because we're not to be focusing about time. We know it's close. Closer than what people imagine. Biblically, last generation's message, teaching, revelation, and it's in the word of God there, 100%. My brother and sister, God don't want us to doubt his coming because it's in his word. His the departure, the rapture, my brother and sister, is biblical. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Matthew 24, 19 to 46, 21, I'm sorry. And when he saw a fig tree by the wayside, he came to it and found nothing therein. Notice, when he came back to the earth again, born through Mary, grew up again, went on to the ministry, he's with his disciple. He comes to the fig tree and find no fruit. My brother and sister. Very significant here, very prophetic, okay? Because we are to bear fruit. The fruit are the fruit of the Spirit. And we are to bear fruit as people of God, my brother and sister. But only leaves. Hallelujah. And the only reason why the fig tree did not produce fruit is when the people are in sin and disobedience. From the Old Testament to the New. My brother and sister, that's why the fig tree message is so important. Because it only produces fruit when the nation is back with God. And the fruit becomes sweet and good to eat. My brother and sister. But when the nation is not with God, the fig tree can be there like it was when Jesus came. There were Jewish people in the land. But the rabbis and scribes, Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil. They were not of God. They were of the devil. And only Peter, Matthew, and then can be saved. The rest could not because they will not repent. My brother and sister, he told us to the Pharisees and scribes when they got angry at him. Hallelujah. Ye are not mine. Ye are your father the devil. But leave only, and he said unto it, let no fruit from it grow on thee henceforward forever. They cannot be fruit on the wicked unless they repent. And this is what has been the confusion in the last day with the gospel and minister and people, which people are looking for fruit. But if they're not a God, there cannot be any fruit. There cannot be any fruit. My brothers and sisters, there cannot be any fruit. Simply the fact there cannot be any fruit. if the person is not of God. It has to be someone of the Lord. It has to have the Holy Spirit in their lives. They had the fruit of love, caring, and all that will be there when the person is of God. My brother and sister, that's why God said he will remove the phony, those that are not his. The Lord gave it yesterday, Sister Celestial, a very strong radio, I call it, message. I have it ready to play it tonight, my brother and my sister. The Lord gave Sister Celestial a rated R revelation for America, my brother and sister. I'm going to play this audio, and I'll tell you which I should have probably tested Sister Celestial also. Before we play any message like this that are so strong, we need to tell parents who have children listening to please don't let the children listen to the message because it is too strong for them, my brothers, because Sister Celestial describe from the Lord what the Lord showed her in this revelation. They're very strong. I'm going to play the audio and you'll see how strong they are. And if you have any children listening, I'll tell you when I'm going to play it. My brother and sister, you please don't let them hear. Don't let them hear. They're not ready to hear that, but the adult needs to listen because it's a very powerful revelation. And a lot of it I have mentioned on the Lord's Hour, I got to be careful with the language. Because usually the children listening, my brother and sister, I had to send, yesterday I was listening to it, I had to send my children away, my wife and I listened to it, but it was a very strong message. My brother and sister, amen. So, Jesus said, let no fruit forehead grow, there's no be no fruit on the wicked, and immediately the fig tree withered away, and when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how soon had the fig tree withered away? The wicked is never meant like a Amalek to last long in power. Biden is not to last long in power. He never meant to be long in office. My brother and sister, the wicked were never meant to be long in office. God's going to cut them short. He's going to cut their office short. And God has said to Sister Celestial and the other prophet that he's going to cut them short. They're not going to be on, my brother and sister, tell them, Brother Joseph, long. God has said this. This is important. Thank you, Lord. Jesus answered and said unto them, verily I said unto you, if ye have faith and doubt not, you should not only do this which is done to the fig tree, but also you should say unto the mountain, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and it shall be done. There's so much here prophetic that is about to come, my brother and sister. But having faith with God is so important. And repent of our doubt and unbelief is so important. I was doing that yesterday a lot, repenting my pride and unbelief. My brother and sister, I was doing it a lot, and I felt so good to be doing it. After Jesus rebuked me for doubting that the bride is about to enter into the wedding celebration, he showed me. And he said, it's his word. Amen. He said, yes, it's his word that I'm sharing tonight, Matthew 24. If we have it in his word, why are we doubting it? Why? His face was very serious. His language was rebuked to me. He rebuked me very hard. Very hard he rebuked me. My brother, I wanted to see him smile, but no. There was no smile. He rebuked me to let me know it's not acceptable that we are doubting that we are about to be taken out, that the bride is about to go in, the bride is about to be raptured. My brothers, I have people disagree with me. And I'm going to be honest, I'm only going to believe Jesus who's sitting at the right hand of Father, not anybody else in regard to the rapture. Jesus said that the bride is about to be taken out. Amen to that. We need to stop listening to everybody else. Because when other people bring their teaching and idea, believing that the rapture is it's many years from now, that will discourage people. Continue to repent and seek the Lord. This is very important, okay? This is very important that we continue to repent and seek the Lord in regard to the rapture of the pastor, because the Lord is about to take his people home. And if you're listening to someone else who disagree and they're saying something else, it may have you miss the rapture. That person may have you miss the rapture. And then how mad will you be? Imagine someone, because of their false teaching, have you missed the rapture. Tell me now, how angry would you be? Tell me. How angry would you be with another person? Some people say, I'll kill him. No, don't do that. Don't do that. But if you find yourself in the Great Tribulation running from demons, because a teacher here, back here, told you that the rapture was going to take many years and you believe him and you didn't got ready and you didn't really were repenting, and now you find yourself running from demons in the Great Tribulation, how will you feel about that teacher, that pastor, that leader? How would you feel about someone who's teaching you something else from the rapture of departure and you miss it and you find yourself in the Great Tribulation running from demons, hiding in caves and running from werewolf and all kinds of things that you didn't want to see, that you didn't want to experience, but you listen to this other person and this other person tell you something else and you didn't prepare and you were not in repentance, you were not fasting, you were not praying, you were not spending all your time in the Word, because you were listening to this other person, and now you're living a horrible life in the Great Tribulation. You're miserable. You can find no food to eat, no clothing to buy, no food in the supermarket. There's no power in any homes, my brother and sister. And because it's so dark and most of the solar panels don't work anyway, and everything I ran out, there's no gas. There's nothing you can go and buy like you used to. And you're living a miserable life. Most of all the lakes are dry. You have to drink dirty water because the city water is fully contaminated. And you're living this horrible life in the Great Tribulation because you listen to this other person who was telling you that the rapture was years from now, there's no truth that the rapture is about to happen, and they lied to you because that's a lie. That's the kind of rebuke the Lord Jesus was giving me yesterday morning in heaven. And I receive it. And that is true. And I'm not going to listen to nobody else to contradict the rapture, who says that the rapture is many years from now. No. I'm not going to believe the lies. I'm going to believe Jesus on this. I'm going to trust Jesus on this only, my brother and sister. Okay? Only Jesus, who's at the right hand of the Father. And you can seek him for a confirmation of tonight's word and tonight's revelation. You can seek the Lord. Because let me tell you, there are people 100% convinced of what I'm speaking tonight, not because Elvis Zapata is saying, it's because the Lord Jesus himself has spoken to them. The Lord Jesus himself has given them dream and vision clearly and confirmed it to them that he's about to take his bride from the earth and that whoever is not ready will stay, but whoever is ready will go home with him. And there's no ifs or buts about it, my brother and sister. And this is how he wants us to live, and this is how he wants us to walk. He doesn't want us listening to nobody else who contradict the word of the bride being taken out of the earth. And anybody contradicts it, you don't listen to them. I am sorry. I'm not promoting anybody who contradicts the rapture, the Lord being about to take his bride home. No, it has to be for the Lord. All glory to him. He died for us on the cross. Why would we listen to anybody else? My brother and sister, this is dangerous down here. Dangerous. Dangerous, because you can see anointed people contradicting the rapture. Anointed people speaking in tongues and prophesying, contradicting the rapture now. Pastors, anointing men and women of God, contradicting the rapture. Say, that's going to be years from now. Or a lot of them saying there's no rapture. Lying to the people. And they don't know they're going to have to answer the Lord face to face. The rebuke that they're going to get from Jesus, oh, my Lord. When they see the Lord face to face, he's going to rebuke them so hard that they're going to go crying on their knees. Lord, please forgive me. Please, Lord, I didn't know. See, that's the thing. If you don't know, ask the Lord. What are you doing guessing the word of God? When if you don't know, fast, pray. Cry out to God like this man in Judges 9. Cry out and have it revealed to you what is going to happen. And start guessing. I like this Jehu. Hallelujah. Because my brothers and sisters, hallelujah, we have to have the same attitude of gratitude with God. And not take everything people say. But Joham, I'm sorry. Joham. Hallelujah. Praise to Jesus. He cried. And when they told Joham, he went and stood at the top of the mountain and he said, lift up his voice and cry, my Lord, my Lord. Hallelujah. My brother and sister, this has to be the attitude of gratitude that you and I need to have before God. Instead of taking everybody else's word and opinion and idea and their experience and their story. My brother, because a lot of people have a lot of story. But it's what God says, what God is saying today to us, what God is revealing to us, what he's saying to us at this very hour. That's matter. Joham, hallelujah, when he stood atop of the mountain, he sing, lift up his voice and cry. Say unto them, hearken unto me, Jimen and Shinchen, that God may hearken unto you, because he, the man of God, received from God and knew that if these people did not hearken to what God had to say through him, they would have followed the multitude of Lamech and would also die. Because all the men that follow Lamech, this is the thing here. You follow evil, you're going to fall like evil into evil things. They follow evil. They were put through the sword. They were killed for following Lamech. Well, Lamech is our king, you know. You know what Biden said we have to do because he's the president. Nonsense and foolishness. It's what God says. Hallelujah. Let all men be lying, God's truth. Hallelujah. You listen to God. Listen to his word. And Jesus said to me, my word is true. Why do they doubt my word and unbelief? And don't believe my word. And this is where a lot of people are standing today, doubting God's word, unbelieving God's word. Hallelujah. And the Lord is stunned seeing people questioning. And I myself was asking the Lord, Lord, are we so close to be going home? And he let me know in heaven, I heard, when you doubt, if my wedding is about to happen, he not only heard what I was, because I was thinking it, and I was praying to him about it, and he didn't like that. Because I was not doing it by faith. I was doing it with doubt, he says. That's why he rebuked me. That's why he didn't have a smile when he brought me, to the chamber. He had a face like someone who's about to grab a machete and cut someone's head. I'm giving you a graphical explanation here. He wasn't going to do that to me because I know he loves us so much. He won't do that. He won't do that. But in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord slew thousands of people in one day. Praise the Lord. Take no chance. We need to repent. Hallelujah. My brothers and sisters, this is very, very, hallelujah. We need to be focusing on going home, repenting to be going home. Anything else is a story. Hallelujah. So he rebuked me hard. And I'm standing there, my brothers and sisters, in front of him as he was rebuking me and talking to me. I had to receive it. Hallelujah. I can't say no bad about it, but listen to him. He's my rabbi. He's my Lord. He's my God. And he knows what he's doing. He's disciplining me that our thinking, our praying, our belief must be what his word says, is what he was telling me. My word is true. So that's why we're in the word. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Even when he rebukes us, he loves us. Hallelujah. And all these things, whatsoever you should ask in prayer, believing, y'all shall receive. Notice how he takes that to the level where when you believe, when you are trusting God with your heart, when you pray, when you ask, you will receive. Hallelujah. But the problem with us is when we don't receive and we pray, we complain. We murmur like the children of Israel. But it's because we don't have the faith. You're doubting the rapture. You're doubting that we're about to leave, and then you go asking God for things. God's able Who do you think you are? Didn't I say in my words that he that cometh to me might believe that I am? Why are you coming to me with your doubt and unbelief and not even repenting your doubt and unbelief? God have mercy. God have mercy. You cannot imagine having Jesus stand in front of you rebuking you. Praise the Lord. Because there's nothing I can say that would justify my attitude, my behavior before him. He wants to bring me home. He promised he would. In order to get me there, he needs to rebuke my behavior. That is not a behavior of a man of God. A son of God, don't behave this way. Doubting his promises, that's not an attitude that we think it's okay. Because some people say, that's okay, brother. You're only a man. May the Lord rebuke that thinking. That's not the way the Lord wants us to think. We must believe that he is. He says, hallelujah. He that comes to God must believe. A must is a must. To a lot of people, a must is a less. No, a must is a must. There's no doubt there. Praise you, Jesus. Back to the fig tree. 1 Kings 4:25. In Judah and Israel dwell safety. Every man under his vine and under his fig tree, from Dan even to Bathsheba, all the days of Solomon. Notice that in the prosperity and when the people repent and come back to God, notice when they can enjoy the fig tree again. When they can come under the fig tree and enjoy the fruit. In the days of Solomon, 1 Kings 4:25, this only happened when everyone had turned to God through Solomon, repent all the sins and trespasses. Judah and Israel dwell safely, every man under his vine and under the fig tree, from Dan even to Bathsheba, all the days of Solomon. You get right with God, you will enjoy the good fruit of the land. My brother and sister, it's what God says to Moses in Exodus 3, that he was taking them to a land that flowed with milk and honey. That's the land of Israel, the land of Jerusalem today. They will have abundance. Israel, hallelujah, sent out to the nations 120 tons of food every year now. From all the fig trees that they have, olives, and so much more. My brother and sister, that shows abundance in the land. Hallelujah. Just like, not so much like in the days of Solomon, but it's a significant point into the days of Solomon. My brother and sister. Psalm 105:33. Their vines, also their fig tree, and broke the tree of their borders. This is judgment. This is when the land comes under judgment. Notice that the fig tree doesn't escape. When the fig tree is destroyed, like before 1948, the land of Israel, there was not one single fig tree there. Not one. They have been burned, they have been cut down, and they have been burned. Not for one to return. And the God's judgment, this is exactly what happened. Psalm 105:33. He smacked their vine, also their fig tree, and broke the trees and their borders. Borders, no protection of the borders. My brother and sister, even the Bible tells you that you should have protection in your borders. Huh? Notice how God was the one who chose Donald Trump for the United States. I'm going to say this tonight. Jesus came to me a few months ago and said, pray for Donald Trump. I'm going to ask everyone listening, and if you know anybody else also, please let's pray for President Donald Trump, for God to protect him and his family. And let's also pray that God will put him back in office again. God chosen Donald Trump. The border that he was raising is a sign, it's biblical, my brother and sister. Okay? And because the fact that God has chosen him, and the fact is that Jesus himself asked me to pray for him, came to ask me to pray for him. So if it, to God Donald Trump is important, he must be important to us. I know there's a lot of people saying, oh, why people idolize to Donald Trump so much? Be careful. We are only doing what God is asking us. Remember this. We're only being obedient to the Lord, the one we should be obedient to, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. The Lord says to pray for him, we pray for him. The rest is in the hand of God. We're not nobody to be judging other people. Now, Proverbs 27:18, listen. Who keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waited on his master shall be honored. We're waiting for Jesus, our master, our Lord, and our rabbi. Notice how all this is tied to the fig tree. Like the parable of the fig tree. Whose keepers the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. My brother and sister, God is the one who's our provider. Having the fig tree, having fruit, is a sign that God is providing to us. So he that waited on his master should what? Honor. It's an honor to our rabbi, our Lord, our Messiah Jesus, my brother and sister, that we keep the fig tree. Hallelujah. I received today, there's no coincidence in God. I got a mail here, an envelope that came on the mail today. I'm getting a certificate of appreciation for here from the North Carolina, and this is for planting trees in, here in the land, next to my house, my brother and sister. They recognize, I don't know who sent my information to them or let them know that I have planted apple tree, pear tree, and different kind of tree, and they're doing great. They're producing fruit. Well, they're sending me a certificate of appreciation for doing this. My brother and sister, this came today on the mail. Okay? There's no coincidence in the Lord, because I was getting this message of the fig tree ready. And I come to Proverbs 27:18, who keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof, so he that waited on the master shall be honored. It pleases God that we do this. Plant trees. Tree that produces fruit. Because years ago, when the United States was in obedience, if you will come to North Carolina, South Carolina, any of these states, you will find apple trees, pear trees, anywhere producing fruit. And people will give you permission to go grab a basket of it and eat it and take it with you. There's so many dropping anywhere. It honored God that the United States was this way and that many of our islands was this way many years ago. You can see now on the disobedience, they have cut down most of the apple tree and pear tree and all that. Very few are in our state today. My brother, which I wonder why. I wonder why. But when I go into the Word of God, I find that under disobedience, this is exactly what people do. By planting them and taking care of them for the coming of Jesus, it honor the Lord. My brother and sister, fig tree is a sign of God's provision to our lives. So it's a sign, my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Solomon of Solomon 2:13. The fig tree putteth forth her green fig, and the vine with tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. This is Israel, prophetically. Okay, this is Israel prophetically. This is the rapture when Israel will be planted, which is the last generation that is planted, when Israel will come to be a nation, when the fig tree put up for her green fig, and the vine with tender grape give us good smell in our eyes. My love, my fair one, come away, Messiah sister is bride. Come away, my bride. This is the Lord taking his bride home. During this last generation, you can find the departure and rapture all over the Bible, even in the book of Proverbs and the book of Son of Son. My brother and sister, there's no coincidence in the Word of God. There's only knowledge and revelation for us, for our lives, to bless our lives. My brother and sister, to help us grow in the Lord. Isaiah 34:4, all the hosts of heaven shall be dissolved. And the heavens shall be rolled together as a scroll, and all their hosts shall be fall down, the leaf falling from the vine, and as the failing fig from the tree. When he talks about bringing all the hosts of the devil down to my brother and sister during the Great Tribulation, because this is what this prophecy is going to come to pass of the prophet Isaiah. This is the host of the devil in the heavenly places being cast down to the earth. my brother and sister. Thank you, Lord. And he says that as the fig goes down, fading away, and the fruit of the vine falls away, which is all happening in the last days, last day generation. Even Isaiah prophesied this. Even the prophet Isaiah prophesied, giving us clear signs in the word of God when these things would happen. Right in front of us, black and white. My Lord, my God. Do any of us have any excuse? None of us. My brother and sister. Isaiah 36:16. Hearken now to Hezekiah. For thou sayest the king of Assyria, make an agreement with me by a present, and come out to me, ye of every of his vine, and every of his fig tree, drink ye every one of the water of his own certain. Now, look how the devil here is deceiving them through the king of Assyria, the people of Israel. If they listen and follow the voice of a stranger, they will fall. And God is saying this to us. There were many that will call you to follow them. But we as the Lord's sheep should know the voice of our shepherd, of our Lord. How do we know it? By being in relationship with him daily. Because there are voices of other lovers. Well, they're not lovers, they're haters. The only lover is Jesus Christ. But they sound like our lover. But they're haters. Okay? They're not the true shepherd of the sheep. Only Jesus is. And they put out their voice to follow them. Don't follow them. Follow Jesus only. Praise you, Lord. Jeremiah 5:17. They shall eat thine harvest and thy bread, which thy son and thy daughter should eat. They shall eat up the flock of thy herd, and they shall eat up the vine of thy fig tree. They shall impoverish thy fortified city, where thou trustest with the sword. Huh. They're putting comfort in the nonsense. The sword will come for them. Jeremiah 18:13. I will surely consume them, saith the Lord. There shall be no grapes in the vine, nor fig tree, nor fig on the fig tree, and the leaves shall fade, and the things that I have given them shall pass away from them. You notice the sign? Notice the last day sign God has given us? No fruit in the fig tree. God, no fruit in the fig tree also points to the economy falling. As the nation comes under disobedience, no fruit in the fig tree, the economy fall. No food for anyone to eat. In another word, this is a sign that the people have forsaken the Lord, that the people have turned their back on God, my brother and sister, and are not repenting and are not seeking God as God had called them to do so. When the children of Israel did this, they began to see no leaf on the fig tree, no food on the fig tree, and they began to lose everything. The fig tree is a sign for us, as it was a sign for them. Actually, a rabbi said there was fig tree in the garden, my brother and sister, that the fig tree has been on the earth since the beginning. And they put up all their searches that they done, but everything is in the word of God, for sure, my brother and sister. But again, when you read it through the prophet, you can see they fall into sin and disobedience, the fig tree will cut down. The vine will cut down too. Hosea 2:12, I will destroy her vine and her fig tree. Notice, my brother and sister, because vine goes with wine. Because wine comes out of grapes, and the grape comes out of the vine. So it's a type of joy, okay? It's a type of joy. So when he talks about vine, he talks about joy. When he talks about fig tree, he talks about food, provision of food. So he takes away their joy and takes away their provision. No provision among them, my brother and sister, he's saying. So God said, I will destroy her vine, her fig tree, whereby she has said, they are my reward that my lover had given me, and I will make them a forest, and the beast in the field shall eat them. Notice in the pride, this, because he says she. Be careful, she, female, okay? And then it's generalized for men also, because men cannot be on the earth without the woman, because the woman is the mother. I like how the rabbi explained that. Because men discriminate women, but they forget that they were born through a woman. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. I will destroy her vine and her fig tree. And she has said, they are my reward that my lover had given me. Notice that in her pride, she had the confidence in her own economy, in her own provision, which that's what the United States and the rest of the world is today. They're trusting on their stock market, on their economy, and they're very confident that it's not going to fall, it's going to remain strong, and it's going to come back and be stronger, they say. My Lord. But all that thinking, behaving, and attitude is in their pride. But in God's word said, it's going to fall, and it will be no more. These are my reward, they say, that my lover had given me. By the way, Jonathan Cahn wrote a new book. And in the new books, I believe is, I believe it's The Gods or The Falling Gods, or I can't remember the title of it. But let me see. My brother and sister, praise you, Lord, mighty God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And it has to do with America. They return, urgent warning to America return. But I believe it's the gods returning back, I believe it is, which are fallen angel. They are fallen angel. Not to be confused with anything else. Fallen demons, fallen Nephthalian. The return of the gods. And I like what brother said. My brother insisted. Brother Sitra said to him, God should be God with a small letter. Because he wrote God on the return of the gods. But he put a capital letter on the gods. And in the Bible, gods are not spelled with capital letters. They actually are small g. Okay? So it kind of, Jonathan got it when he was saying, because the new book is in Amazon, The Return of the Gods, my brother and sister. Okay? And Sid Ross said that this is one of the best books Jonathan can have written, my brother and sister. He says it's one of the best books he have written, The Return of the Gods. And these are the fallen angel, and what it is that they are already, what we're speaking to our governments, our people in high office. Well, in reality, last night as I listened to this sister Celestial, this is exactly what she was talking about. Okay? Oh, she mentioned this. Okay? Not exactly, but she mentioned this. Okay? These people being listening to fallen angel, fallen demons. Because that's what they are. The Lord calls them demons. We call them fallen angel, fallen Nephthalim. Jesus calls them fallen demons. Okay, I remember him when I used to call them alien. He rebuked me and said, no, my son, demons. The Lord says to me. Several times he had to say this to me because in the moment he was talking to me, revealing these things to me, I kept thinking alien because It's what's been on television for years and among us, and people talk about it all the time. Aliens, but the Lord said they're demons. And the fact of the matter is that Jesus is right. He's always right. He's at the right hand of Father. We should call them demons because they are demons. My brothers, we should call them for what they are. Because if you call them something else, and thank you, the Lord said, yes, thank you. It's important. It's important that we stand on the word of God. Thank you, Lord. Hosea 9:10. I found Israelite grapes in the wilderness. I saw your father as the first ripe at the first tree at her first season. But they went to Baal Peor, separated themselves unto the shame, and their abomination were according as they love. Here it is. Notice that in God, the fig tree is awesome. People turn away, they lose everything, my brother and sister. They lose everything. And as this nation turning their back on God, they're going to lose everything. But it's going to take them to lose everything, to many to get an opportunity to be in safe. The only way this nation, many people, this nation can be safe is by God destroying this nation and destroying their economy. And Jesus showed this to me and spoke this to me. It's the only way. I'm sorry for those that think that the economy can be preserved and the nation can be saved where they are today, because that's not going to happen. The three signs message is God destroying America. Going through the eastern part of the United States, that is Florida. And we know what's in Florida, all the evil that is in Florida. My brothers and sisters, Atlanta, Georgia, North Carolina, the coast of North Carolina, they even have a CERN day already, or a particle accelerator, as they say. Brother said, brother, don't call it CERN, call it particle accelerator. They're still connected with CERN. I don't see the difference. And then Virginia, West Virginia, Pennsylvania, New Jersey coming underwater, New York, Connecticut, and Massachusetts, my brother and sister. All these places, okay, even Rhode Island will be affected, are coming underwater severely, destroyed, my brother and sister. And the rest will be boom, boom, boom. Because Chicago will not escape from the earthquake that is coming to Chicago. They will not escape. They will not. God's going to pound this nation like an angry father whose son don't want to listen, don't want to repent, don't want to say I'm sorry to him, don't want to humble himself. He's going to take his whip and whip this nation from California to Maine to bring those that he wants to save to repentance. And crying like babies back to him. And then the rest of the world is not going to escape neither. He's going to go around the world and bring every single nation underneath. Underneath. There's only two nations that will be preserved to be destroyed. And it's China and Russia. My brother and sister. China and Russia will be preserved for the end of the Great Tribulation, World War III. Where God's going to put a hook on the Antichrist, and you take them with this nation to the Mount of Israel. Messiah will come down and finish them right in the mountain of Israel. But Father God's going fishing and putting a hook on the Antichrist. The Antichrist is behind the scene, ruining Europe, the United States, and the rest of the world with his evil, wicked idea. My brothers and sisters, since he was in office, hallelujah, in 2008, he has been destroying the earth. Wicked, wicked, wicked. When he was in office, he gave Iran trillions of dollars to release a few men and women back to this nation. Trillions of dollars. And gave them billions after billions of weapons and technology and secrets to Iran because he loved his brothers, my brother and sister. Terrible, terrible, terrible things. And now he's running this country behind the scenes, or ruining, because God is running everything. He's ruining this country, ruining the rest of all the nation, and everybody's making the plague to him. All the president has to do what he say from every single country. In Geneva, president for all the countries went and met with him, and he make them sign. The signing that they signed was selling out their country to follow his order. That's why the Lord showed it to me. He ain't giving order to President Putin. You think President Putin is doing whatever he feel like it? He's following the order of the Antichrist. He's doing what the Antichrist is telling him to do. He's positioning himself everywhere in the world with nuclear weapon, my brother and sister, because that's the way the Antichrist wants it. But the Lord is going to finish him. He's going to finish him, my brother and sister. But until the end of that time, those that are staying behind for 7 years are going to see this on television and will be vomiting until they see it, after they see it, crying out to God for mercy. Because everything we're speaking here tonight, they're going to see it on television, and they will be vomiting, remembering every single message and word we have spoken, my brother and sister, because it's out of the word of God. It's terrible what is coming on this earth. Anyone who stays behind has no idea what is coming. Anyone who's not repenting now has no idea what is coming. No idea. Anyone who's repenting now is because they want to escape. They don't want to be here a day more after the rapture. The rapture is about to happen. The great tribulation is about to begin. I mean, when that sister saw how soon the great tribulation is about to begin, when the Lord showed her, she was crying like a baby when the Lord brought, Lord, I want to be ready to go home with you. Please forgive me. Please, Lord. She understood that right now, seeking a career to be in a profession, going to school, or focusing on your job or whatever, it's a waste of time. You're wasting your time. The only time invested right now is repenting, seeking to be going home with Jesus. If you're thinking about anything else, you're wasting your precious time, and you will be mad at yourself, angry at yourself, willing to punch yourself and kick yourself for the decision that you have made if you're not repenting now. Because soon as that shofar, the trumpet sound, and God's people disappear, my brother and sisters, every story that you ever heard will become nothing to you. You will say to yourself, you stay behind, how did I believe the lie? How did I let these people confuse me and mislead me and lie to me? And you're called a lion. I remember this sister from Puerto Rico years ago. The Lord took her into the Great Tribulation in Puerto Rico. And she said she saw this Pentecostal pastor who's been lying to people about the rapture. And that great multitude of people who stay behind because they believe his lies, my brother and sister, about the rapture, they grab him. A group of people grab him by one arm, another one group by another arm, the other group divided, one by the leg and the other leg, and they begin to pull. And this pastor was screaming in pain, please stop. It hurts. It hurts. And they kept pulling this man's body until they pull his arm and they pull his leg out of his body in pieces. And when his body fell on the floor, it was still alive. Because you can't die. They will seek to die, but they will loot them, Revelation says. They were punching him. They were kicking him. And he heard the people saying, you lie to us. You deceive us. We believe your lies. That's why we end up staying in shofar. But you're going to pay for this, some people say. And they were spitting at him. They were kicking him. They were punching him. And there were some people from far. He's a pastor. Don't do this to him. He's a man of God. How dare you do this to him? No, he lied. I used to come to church. I gave this man my tithes and offering faithfully. I worked hard for my money. And I gave this man my tithes and offering. And look, he lied to us. We stay behind the great tribulation. In his fun, they kept punching him. They punched him so much that his face was swollen. And his body was swollen because of the kicking and punching of these people. He was in the floor. They had ripped his arm and leg, and they were still kicking his body. And his mouth was still screaming in pain. My brother, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I lied to you. I'm sorry I lied to you. Yeah, you better say I'm sorry. And they kept kicking and punching him up. People, man. Because they said, we gave you a tithe and offering. You lied to us. You deceive us. Teaching us that the rapture was not real. You lied. My brother and sister, this is the reality of many in the days to come. My brother and sister, there's not much left. Not much. Not, brother and sister, Jesus says to me, the bride is about to enter. He used the word about to enter. I listen careful to the word coming out of Jesus' mouth because I wanted to come and tell you what he says. So as he's speaking there, I am listening to him. Yes, he was angry at me. And I won't say angry. He was disciplining me, as the word, and rebuking me. Thank you, Lord, for rebuking me. Because he loves me. And he loves you too. And don't want you to believe the lie. Don't want you to stay behind. My brother and sister. He don't want us to stay behind. don't want us. And if we don't repent, if we don't seek to be going home with him, we will stay behind. As much as he loves us, my brother and sister, because he knows when father gives the order, go get my children, bring them home. It happened so quickly. He given me the experience. I blink when I went to sleep. I blink. I know I only blink. And immediately I was in the chamber, in front of all the chamber, where people are coming in to get dressed for the wedding. Immediately. I mean, it's millions and trillions of miles away, and I was there in less than 1 second, standing there before Jesus. My brother and sister, he came to the chamber to speak with me. And I knew in the other room where he was, because I kind of saw when he entered through the door, here's the door, I saw like multitude of guests there sitting, waiting for the bride to come in. They want to see the bride. Again, we share. Why? Because she having arranged in fine linen. My brother and sister. And the fine linen is prophetic. It's the work of the righteous. It's prophetic. How bright and beautiful we look. And how much we have served God on this earth. My brother and sister, a commitment of holiness and righteousness. A commitment with him. And they want to see her. And all the guests are there already. Endless big room. Endless. Huge. I could not describe you this place. Because I was not allowed to enter into the guest. But I seen it in another occasion from a different side of the door of the guest room. That's where I saw two Thomas sitting in one of the guest rooms. My brother and sister. And I walked to shoot two Thomas when I saw her. Young lady in her 20. She died in her 60. She's a young lady. Beautiful, beautiful. I seen two Thomas in heaven 3 times already. I seen Brother Larry, I believe, 4 times already. When I walk into the guest room, this is the first time I was allowed, remember, at that time. And I walk into that guest room where two was sitting in there, in that white, beautiful table. The adorn of the table were golden. Pure, transparent gold with the adorn of the table. It had glass cup on it, adorned with gold around the cup. It had spoon there. And they were made of silver. I believe it's transparent silver, special silver, spoon, forks, cups. Everything adorned for a king with gold and much more in it. Beautiful, beautiful. I never seen anything like this. My brother and sister. Beautiful, beautiful. Adorned. And the white table. And there, she was sitting there. Looks like they have served some kind of fruit juice. My brother and sister. In the moment, I was thinking it was like lemonade. My brother and sister. But I listen to this. She will be in CERN. Everyone who served Jesus on this earth, when they go to heaven, now they're being served by redeeming angels. And she will be in CERN. And I come in, and I see her, and I recognize her. Sis, too. She looked at me. Brother Elvie. She never seen me in person. I only see her on video. I believe she saw me maybe on video. We only spoke on the phone, she and I, before the Lord took her home. And I immediately went and gave her a hug, gave her a kiss on the cheek. Very happy to see me. Very happy to see her, too. Great sister in the Lord. Great friends. I can't wait to spend time with them in heaven. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Because when before the Lord took this home, Sister Chu Thomas, my brother and sister, she had asked the Lord about me, and Jesus spoke to her about me. And that's when she decided to call me. I like it with her because before she can speak with anyone, and that's why a lot of people wanted her to speak with them, and she never did. Before she speak with anyone, she asked Jesus. Jesus would come to her house almost every single day. She would spend several hours speaking with Jesus in her house until the day the Lord took her home. So one of those days, the Lord was there, very anointed day. Jesus was standing in front of her, and she asked the Lord about me. He said, yes, my son Elvis. And the Lord, Brother Larry, has given her my phone number, and she called me, my brother and sister. And we were talking. It was such an exciting day. And then she called me in different occasions when the Lord would speak to her about me and give her, because she was asking questions of what I was doing here in the Lord's hour, what the Lord was having me do, and the Lord explained to her what he was having me do. Because the Lord is preparing people to take them home. And there was a sister here from the Lord's hour that I saw this morning in heaven. My brother and sister, she's older now. But she was in her 20 in heaven when I saw her this morning. She's on earth right now. She's right now on earth. She's an older sister. I saw her in her 20 this morning in heaven. Jesus showed me her in her 20. My brother and sister. He's so awesome. He is so awesome. He knows everything. He knows everyone too. He knows who's serving him from the heart. And he wanted to show me this sister. She is a loving, caring woman of God. And she, my brother and sister, hallelujah, has been a great follower of the Lord's Hour for years. And she'll contact us, and she loves my children and my family. My brother and sister, she's like family to us here. My brother and sister. Sister is from Australia, and she's a loving sister in the Lord. Okay? She's older than 60, and I saw her 20 year young in heaven. Jesus wanted to show me her. She's a loving sister in the Lord. My brother and sister. Her name is Sister Pam. And she's loving, very loving, and the Lord. She loves Jesus with all her heart. My brother, I haven't mentioned this to her. None. It was this morning the Lord showed me. Yesterday morning he showed me this. In heaven, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. What an awesome God. Joel 1:7. He had laid my vine wasted, and barked my fig tree. He had made a clean bear and cast it away, the branches thereof are made white. Notice what God did with a fig tree. He made it white. Total cleansing. Total cleansing. My brother and sister, Joel says, my wine but wasted. My vine fig tree have made it clean, bare, and cast it away, and the branches thereof are made white. Thank you, Lord. Joel 1:12. The vine is drying up, and the fig tree are languished. The pomegranate tree, the palm tree are also, and the apple tree, even all the tree of the field are withered, because of the wither away the Son of Man. From the Son of Man. Wither away from the Son of Man. Son of Man is Jesus. They wither away from him, because they're in sin. People are in sin. Everything is withering away, dying away. And in sin, this is what happened. Sin equal dead. My brothers and sisters, this is why we need to be in daily repentance. Daily. My brothers and sisters, the Lord has said this to me in his throne in heaven. Another occasion, tell my children to continue to repent. When he showed me the rapture the other day, he was standing there in front of me. Continue to tell my children to repent, he says. Okay? I said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, I said. Bow my head. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I'm not going to question him. I'm not going to stand there and say, Lord, but haven't they been repenting too much? That's what people think. No. We haven't repented too much. Because if we go by the word of God, how much we need to repent? 24 hours a day. Pray without ceasing. So have we repented too much? No, maybe a 10%. It's why we have repented daily. Repenting daily, 24 hours a day. My Lord, have mercy on us. Have mercy, Lord, on us. Joel 2:22. Be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pasture of the wilderness spring up, for the tree beareth her fruit, and the fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. My brother and sister, God can make anything happen. That's prosperity in the Lord. Amos 4:9. I have smitten you with blight and mildew. When your garden and your vine and your fig tree and your olive tree increase, the palm and worm devour them. Yea, they have now returned on. Ye have now returned unto me, saith the Lord. Notice the stock market fall, everything goes south. And God says, people have still not returned back to him. You know what I will say? Well, Lord, you continue to work with them. We go home in the rapture, the Lord can continue to work with people. My brothers and sisters, I don't want to stay behind. I'm honest. I'm sorry. My work is unto the rapture. The Lord takes us out. Take care of yourself. Make sure you download a lot of the Lord Tower message. The freedom, I give you the freedom. I give you the permission to copy them, to give them away, to have them in USB drive, to burn them in CDs, to put them on the cloud. Now you got the ability to put stuff on the cloud. I know that putting it on the cloud is not safe, especially during the Great Tribulation, because the government will take everything down from the cloud. I want to tell you this. Okay, my brother and sister, burn them in CD, put them in USB drive, do with them however you can. You can put them in iPod. Some people, that's a good way to do it. On your iPhone, on your Android phone, on your phone, just save them. Do download all of them if you want. Go back to 2012. Download all the audio of the Lord Tower. I give you permission. Give it away to people. I'm sorry, but after the rapture, I'm not going to be around to teach anymore, to preach anymore. That will be the end of my preaching. I've been telling people, Father spoke this to me the other day. Your work is done. You're done. He says, it's over for you, he says. It's a word he used. It's over for you, my son. It's over. So I've been letting you know for a week now, it's over. We don't have much to preach. My brother and sister, the Almighty has spoken. The Lord Jesus confirmed it also. When Father was speaking, the Lord spoke. The Father spoke. That's the end of that. That is the end of that. And I'm glad this is the way it is. God is bringing his people home. This is it. We only have but a short time. And the Lord confirmed this to me. We only have but a short time, my brother and sister. Short time. Very short. If people knew how short they have, they will be repenting and doing nothing else. My brother and sister, they will put all their dream away and repent and seek God with all their heart, fast and pray and be in the Bible only. Be in the Bible only. My brother and sister, a lot of people need to put away the devices like the computer and cell phone. And this is the reason. They've been on it too much. They haven't been reading the Bible as they should. They never had. And they're too much on the devices, wasting time. And there are a lot of people that are going to be very angry at Apple and Google and all these companies that make these cell phones, Samsung, and them. Very angry at them. Because their devices are stealing all the time that they should be spending with God. When God decides to take his people's home, and you find out that the device that kept you in the Great Tribulation, you're going to be very angry. These devices can be used for good, as we can see tonight. We're listening to God's word, God's teaching. My brother and sister, and it's about the Lord. But it's a device that takes your time from God to do anything else. I don't have cable in my house. I only have this internet. My brother, I don't want my children watching regular television. Evil, sinful, stopping it. Nothing else. My brother and sister, the Illustrated Bible is a great Bible. Yes, use that. I used it years ago, and it was a blessing to me. Yes, sometimes this is a way, easy way for certain people to learn. The Lord speaks to you through it very powerful. Amen? Look forward to be spending time with the Lord. Pray about it. Every time you pray about doing something for God, you'll find out that God will make it possible for you. Because with God, all things are possible, remember? So if you're having difficult spending time with God, begin to pray about it. Tell him that you want to spend time with him to help you. Spend time with him. Keep his commandment and be holy and righteous. He'll help you. All these things are possible with God. You try to do it on your own, you struggle for on your faces every day. But if you ask him, you find yourself doing them, oh, glory to God. My brother and sister, you got to ask the Lord for help. Micah 4:4. But they should set every man under his vine and under his fig tree, and none shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Millennium. The millennium is 1,000 years that God has given us. 1,000 years. My brother and sister, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Yeshua. The earth has been shaking. And this agency of the government that's supposed to be tracking all these earthquakes are denying them. They're being told not to bring fear on the people. And some earthquakes that have been in the 7 and 8, they have reduced it to 6. My brother and sister, everything NASA and the government is doing now, they know this meteor is about to hit the earth this year. And instead of bringing the warning to the people to be alerted and informed, they're hiding it. And they've been doing this with earthquakes and much more, not to bring fear on people, my brother and sister. But God always speaks to his prophet. Doesn't do anything without revealing to his servant the prophet first, the Bible says. Nahum 3:12. And all their strongholds shall be like fig tree, and the first ripe figs. And they be shaken, and they shall even fall into the mouth of the eater. The millennium is going to be great. We'll have abundance from the Lord, my brother and sister. But if people at the end of the millennium, when Satan is loose for a short season, decide that what the Lord had, the Lord been running the earth for 1,000 years, too hard and difficult, like a rabbi, the Bible says. Discipline, discipline, discipline. This is why right now, you and I cannot get tired of the discipline of the Lord. You cannot get tired, because right now our Messiah, our Lord, our Rabbi, our teacher, our Lord Jesus Christ, is disciplining you and I, ordering by Father, this discipline. And a lot of people don't like it. They're mad. They're angry. And I'm going to tell you, this is a sign that if you end up in the millennium, 1,000-year reign with Christ, and Satan is loose, you will run after the devil and end up in the lake of fire. My brother and sister, I'm telling you this because when the Lord showed me after Satan was loose, I was grabbing people by their shoulder hand, telling them, do not follow him. Remember what our Lord said in John 8 about him. He is the father of all lies. And they removed my hand from their shoulder and said, leave me and continue to walk to follow the devil. Like the sand of the sea, fellow Satan, my brother and sister, into the unknown. Satan was promising them, I'm not going to tell you what to do with me. You can do whatever you feel like it. Okay? I'm not going to be telling you what to do, running your life. I'm not going to run your life. With me, you can do whatever you feel like it. Okay? You can have as much fun as you want. I'm not going to stop you from having fun. Okay? Listen to all the lies of the devil, because this is how a lot of people, billions today, are going about their lives daily. Having as much fun as they want. You can be with whoever you want. I'm not going to tell you that you can only have to be with one person. Marriage was established in the garden by God between a man and a woman. You want to be with someone, couple as your partner, marry that person legally before God. If you do it the other way now, and you want the Lord to have mercy, and the Lord has mercy on you, and you can end up in the great in the millennium. If right now you're not taking God's commandments serious. Serious, like life and death, that this is the way God wants us to be. And you are sleeping around, I'm sorry for the word, but I don't know any other word to describe it, going around with different person. You and the millennium will do the same. will end up in jail and will end up following the devil and end up in the lake of fire, the worm with fire and brimstone forever and ever. We need to take this serious. That's why the Lord don't have a multitude here listening to me. Because he says to me, I'm going to bring to your program here those that are mine, he says, those that I'm going to cleanse and prepare to bring them home in the rapture with me, he says, to bring them home with me, he says, the rapture. Very clear, he said this word to me before 2012, that this is exactly what he's going to do. A few chosen, elected by him, to be cleansed and prepared for him to bring home. My brother and sister, if I ask you, have it been easy for you? The first word you're going to say, no, Brother Elvie. It's been so hard, Brother Elvie. I've been going through so much trial and testing. So difficult. The devil keeps doing this and rising this. Exactly. Because you are special. You are selected, elected by the Lord to come home with him. And the trial, hallelujah, it's not to bring you down. I'm sorry. It's actually to bring you up. That's why you've been going to trial and difficult. It's not to bring you down. It's to bring you up. The cleansing and the trial that you've been going through is to bring you up. It's a way that God uses to cleanse you, to remove the stuff from your life and my life that are not pleasing to him. So the testing and trial has to be hard. It feels hard because of pride. If you repent, cry down and believe every day, every single day you get on your knees, and like Yoham, you cry out to God like he did. Humble yourself. And repent, cry down and believe. Say, God, not my will, but thy will be done. Help me, Jesus. When you get the next trial and testing, it will be easy. Like taking a Tylenol in your body. It'll be easy. Like eating your favorite fruit. Like eating your favorite meal. Your trial will be. And you say, but how come this time? The other day when I got my trial, it was so painful and difficult. But now that I'm humbling myself, repenting, pride and unbelief, and seeking the will of God, not my own, his will, not mine, plan, his everything he wants, not me, I got a trial, and it's just like, it tastes sweet like honey. Remember when the prophet ate the word? It was bitter. It was sweet like honey, but then it was bitter. That's a testing and trial. It can be sweet under obedience, but under disobedience is the most hardest things you ever went through. What, is God trying to kill me, he says, under disobedience and sin? You think that God's trying to kill you when he's disciplining? Oh, he's not trying to kill you. He's trying to kill your flesh desire. The things that your flesh love that are the things of hell. Because everyone that has followed after the flesh and has not repented has ended up in hell. And God don't want you to end up in hell. God wants you to come up to heaven with him. So he has to destroy the desire of your flesh. My brother and sister, this is the reality. To be in Christ is to be dead to the flesh. Dead to the world, to the desire of the world. And a lot of us have too many desires of this world that are still alive and strong and healthy and talking and complaining. God needs to kill them to shut them up and humble you and I to his will. Remember Jesus in Gethsemane? Oh, man, this going to the cross is so hard. The sin of everyone? My Lord, have mercy. Hallelujah. And in prayer, his sweat was like dropping of blood. And at that moment was the moment of decision. Every Christian has a moment of decision. Every believer has a moment of decision. And it's to seek the will of God. And at that very moment, they were coming to arrest him, to bring him to jail and be whipped. He knew this. He's God. Jesus is God. He knows what's coming. He knows what's going to happen. He can see it before it happens. He can see the soldier coming to whip him all the way before they took him to the high priest and then to the king and whip him and to the other king and whip him before he was crucified. He can see all that before it happens. My brother and sister. Say, Father. But you know something? The Bible says that he was looking to the joy that will come. Because you cannot look. Whatever you're going through, don't look to your problem. Look to the one that has the solution, which is God, our Lord Jesus. Look to him. Whatever your situation is, any problem in front of him, the soul is destroyed. My brother and sister, no problem can stand. Lack of money, lack of job, lack of help, lack of this. Whatever it is, in the presence of God gets the soul. Hallelujah. Because God has everything in his hand. He got the whole world in his hand. Remember? He got the whole world in his hand. God is in control, my brother and sister. And nothing is out of his hand. And Jesus was looking. I'm going back to my Father, and I'm going to sit in his hand again. Hallelujah. Look into that joy, being sitting next to the Father. Right now, he's sitting there. No one can take from his hand nothing. Nothing. Not one of us. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father in all power and all glory. My brother and sister, he let me know yesterday morning, I can feel you, your doubt and unbelief. Not just hear it, but in heaven, he let me know, I can feel it. And the same with all of us complaining, is the rapture really going to happen soon? The Lord not only can hear us, feel what we feel, doubt brings you down and discouraged. And the Lord can feel that discouraged. And each of his believers that are doubting and unbelieving. My brother says, this is so dirty, doubt and unbelief. It's from the devil, not of God. My brother and sister, the devil started the doubt and unbelief in the beginning, Eve, Adam and Eve, in the garden. He brought that garbage into the garden. And for that very moment, contaminated humanity. My brother and sister, when God made Adam and Eve, they didn't have no doubt and unbelief. They didn't need it to see God to believe that God can do everything. And they saw it, and they moved everywhere they went, and they were moving in the power of God like the angels. My brother and sister, it was glorious like it is in heaven. That's why Jesus said that we should pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because earth, when Jesus returns, it's going to be like heaven. I've been taken to the millennium, and I've seen angels and redeemed moving in the speed of lightning. From Jerusalem to where we call the United States, in second they're there. And I move the same, and they move the same back and forward. And I can see all the lightning, my brother and sister, the lightning of the angel, the redeemed, moving on the earth and the millennium. Boom, 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 boom. And you can hardly see them in the spirit. They're moving so fast. My brother and sister, back and forth, doing the work of God, the redeemed, the people, those that are coming out of the body of the millennium, people receive them and work on them. And begin to talk to him about Jesus and God, and the Lord is in Jerusalem, and wait until you see him. It's glorious. Now commit your life to him. Begin to seek him. Begin to repent. Begin to do the things that you did not do when God was calling you to do. And people, you can see them coming in and say, yes, yes, by his great I am saved. Now thank him. Commit your life to him. That's what my job is going to be in the millennium, telling people, commit your life to Jesus. Forget about all this beauty you see. Yes, it's all beautiful. Enjoy it. But your relationship with God is more important than all this gold you can find in the river. I went to one of the river in the millennium, and I can dig in the sand gold. Right there in the sand, there was gold, and I can pick it up and look at beautiful gold, pieces of gold, like stones in the millennium. And you can go to any river, and you can find gold in the millennium. Golds and diamonds and whatever you can find almost everywhere in the millennium. What is that good for? Is that going to bring me my relationship with God? No. So why would I focus on material stuff? Why? My brother and sister, the devil deceives people so easy. So easy. Oh, if you have a big bank account, if you have gold and silver, invest in gold, invest in silver. The lies of the centuries. That's what that is. The lies that have been going around since the garden. The lies that the serpent offered them is still going around, and people keep falling in it by billions. My brothers and sisters, everything else but a relationship with God, with Jesus, is what the devil is offering people. The devil tells him, I'll give you anything else as long as they keep them away from seeking God, praying and fasting, committing their life to God. Anything he gives them. Anything else. Remember where the Lord took me? And the devil and his lawyer was offering someone, and if they sell their soul to them, $1 billion. And I said, oh, these people. I thought they were lying. And the Lord brought me to another room where these people were doing this, and they were giving them a briefcase with $1 billion in it. And I said, open it. I want to see it. And they opened it right in front of me. I remember. I was still back in Massachusetts back then. And $1 billion was there for that person's soul. My brother and sister, anything else to keep people from repenting and seeking God and committing their life to God, the devil will be willing to give anyone. All the money they want, all the riches they want, to keep them from praying, repenting, and truly seeking God. Because the devil understands how valuable a single soul is to God. Let me give you an example. He leaves the 99 and go for that one. He says, excuse me, to his brothers and sisters, I got to go get my lost sheep. And he goes. Look, he left all his riches in heaven and came down for one, that one lost sheep. That's you and I. You and I are that one sheep. Why that one sheep? Because to God, a soul is special. He makes everyone special. God makes everything unique. Everyone unique in him, in his image, in his likeness. And everyone is unique. I haven't seen angel looking the same in heaven. Everyone is unique and special to God. And we, each one of us, are. And the devil understands that very well. That's why if he can deceive one of us to turn from the living God, to turn from the truth, my brother and sister, to him that is a great, great victory to lead that person to the lake of fire. But if you being wise in the Lord, reject everything of this world for Jesus, for your relationship with him, wait until you get to heaven and you see him and you meet your Father. The reward he has for you, my brother and sister, oh my Lord, oh my God. You are going to be so happy and so joyful for your decision that other redeeming angel will come to you and say, oh, you really made the best decision. Oh, you really made the best decision. You really made the right choice. My sister, my brother, you really did it. You really did it for the Lord. You suffered for him. You rejected everything on this earth for Jesus. Oh. Oh, my sister, oh, my brother, you made the best decision of your life. It's an eternal life God has given you with him that cannot be stolen. Once you enter heaven, everything becomes history for you. Everything you need to understand, he reveals. You'll see earth from heaven. You'll see people from heaven. And everything you want to know, you will know. And you have the Lord there standing with you, face to face, where you're smiling on you, loving on you, explaining anything you want to ask him. And for eternity, hallelujah, you look at the kingdom. You look at his throne, how marvelous and huge. And everything he had created, a planet to the Lord that is billions of miles in distance, is like nothing to him, full of life and full of everything. You'll say, go, my daughter, go enjoy. Go, my son, go enjoy. Lord, but there's so much. I created all this for you. I remember when Jesus walked with me out of that auditorium. In that auditorium, there was Jeremiah, Isaiah, many other prophets was there with Jesus. The Lord wanted me to see them. I saw them. But my eyes was on Jesus. And Jesus walked out the door with me. And when we were like up in the mountain in heaven, from that mountain, I can see this endless valley of beauty. It was indescribable. Thomas Kincaid had not drawn a picture of such a beauty. My brother and sister, the Lord was showing me that beautiful valley, endless. My brother and sister, he says, tell my children about this place, he says to me. I made all this for them. He says, my brother and sister, wait until you get there and see what God has made for you. Everything your eye desire, he'll give to you. My brother and sister, your mansion, your marvel of the beauty of your mansion, he made it. He made it himself. He says, I go and make a dwelling for you. If I go and make a dwelling for you in John 14, I'll come back. And where I am, you will also be. In my father's mansion, my father's house, there are many mansions. I go and prepare a place for you, he said. He has all that for you in heaven ready. I remember when he showed me mansion from the sky in heaven. It was endless. Beautiful mansions. Now my this mansion on earth come close to it. My brother insisted. They were made, till, prepared. Beautifully, every mansion is made as a reward to every believer. It is made according to their heart. Only God knows people's heart. And because he knows people's desire in their heart, he made the mansion exactly how they would desire to be. Even us cannot describe our desire. Sometimes you ask someone, what do you really desire? And they have a trouble describing it. The Lord knows exactly what you desire, 100%. He made those mansions exactly how your heart will love it. Detailed differently than everyone. Every single mansion is different. Detailed specifically for that person. My brother and sister, if that mansion is close, only the person, when they come to heaven, get to walk to their mansion. My brother and sister, and he had me look at them from far. I wanted to go in, you know, the curiosity. I wanted to go in and see what's inside, but I was not allowed to. Because the owner was not in heaven yet. It was to my brothers and sisters that are coming home soon. Any minute now, any second. They're coming home. And the mansions are ready for them. Thank you, Jesus. And when they see their mansion, they're going to be so happy. After seeing all those mansions, I was taken to a place where I was supposed to wait for Jesus. As I'm there, I see a white horse coming, just like in the book of Revelation. And Jesus was riding the horse. He had a golden crown with him that shined with glory. Out of his face came this glory. As he came close to me, knocked me down to the floor like dead. Like Daniel and the prophets. I was dead in the floor. He spoke to me. And when he spoke the word, I recovered by the word he spoke. I stood up. There he was. Beautiful Jesus, the love of all the nations. The one that everyone wanted to see. He was standing there with a crown of gold, foreign gold. Beautiful. Indescribable. And that white horse, just like I read Revelation for so many years. He began to talk to me about everything he created for his children, my brother and sister. On my left, or in front of me, were the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, wanted to speak with me, my brother and sister. In heaven, they had the right to speak. You had the right to listen. It's like being arrested down here. You got the right to remain silent. You got the right for an attorney. Anything you say will be held against you in the court of Lord. In the court. Well, in heaven, it's basically the same. When you take into heaven, you want to speak, you better be silent. Because you got the right to remain silent, I remember. Abraham, our father of faith, began to speak with me. And this is when he talked to me, hallelujah, about Mary Kay Baxter. He says, she is a chosen of the Lord. And even Chu Thomas and Abraham, the father of faith, began to speak to me about the serving of the Lord that were on the earth when I was in heaven visiting my brother and sister. And then Isaac began to speak to me the same and confirm them to me and name them. They were talking to me about them by name that I knew, that I heard on the earth. They completely knew in heaven. Everyone that is of God, he is serving God on this earth. Their name in heaven, because it's in the book of life, everyone knows them completely by name. And exactly what they're doing for the Lord, my brother and sister. And Jacob also began to talk to me about them by name, about the servant of the Lord that the Lord had called and had written books. The Lord gave them those revelations, they said to me. The Lord himself, they said to me, given that revelation. I always wondered why the Lord wanted me to meet Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it's because they are a father of faith. I'm a Jewish like them, by blood, my brother and sister. I don't think in 3 hours I can tell you all the things the Lord has shown me of heaven. And I don't know why I'm talking about them when I got a bunch of Bible verses that I wanted to share with you. But God is in control. I am not. He is. So what I want to tell you is that we'll continue this Sunday, God willing, if the rapture had not happened, because the rapture of the bride of Christ is so close, my brother and sister, that if we are gone by Sunday, all glory be unto the Lord. Shalom, shalom to my brothers and sisters. Hope Sister Carla will be on tomorrow. I will be back on Sunday. Shalom.
And alimu reke ando tula majite kruti izino lumu revi shikili apote eno no 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 tile bara kilo kote machela ishule tikini musa te popole abate hijele mukra
tikini.
Well, the time has come for you to take some big steps. That will cause a great change of scenery in your life. And now, the mountains shall be removed and hindrances shall be removed. And things are turning even now, for the goodness of God shall be manifested. So lift up your hands and lift up your eyes, for the glory of God shall be revealed and there shall be an increased measure that shall come upon you. And you'll shake off the dust of the past and arise and shine, for the glory of God shall be revealed. And I'll dress you up in some new clothes, says the Lord, and give you access to my presence, and you'll enter into a new day, for I have turned your captivity, and now your mouth is filled with laughter.
Promesa, luz en tinieblas, mi Dios.